Done so already, please remember to silence your cell phones, and if never fails, one of us is going to be the one whose phone rings up here in the middle of the meeting. We have Reverend Mitchell with us today for the invocation, so if you all stand and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, that would be wonderful.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we come before you aware of your power, your justice, your mercy, your compassion. You are the source of all wisdom. May that wisdom extend to this group, guide and direct each voice, so the work of those gathered here would be a blessing for this community. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reverend, thank you very much. Thank you for what you do for our community. Randy, any changes to the agenda?
No, sir.
Great. We'll look for a motion to approve.
Second.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Please let the record show that Vice Mayor Weldon is not in attendance today. So that is a 4-0 vote, Cindy. Thank you.
Yes.
Mayor's report. I have some fun. Kyle, will you join me, please? Dory's laughing over there. I think she set you up or something. Everything all right? Okay. Folks, the city's Economic Development Advisory Board has selected the Prince, Race and Zolo. There you guys are. To receive the 2017 Second Quarter City of Winter Park Business Recognition Award. The purpose of the award program, which was instituted not too long ago, is to formally recognize Winter Park businesses who demonstrate a commitment to the vitality of the city's business climate by volunteering to expend both human and financial resources to ensure the continuation of our vibrant local business setting. With that, I'm going to turn it over to this guy because he's got the specifics. Kyle, it's yours.
Sure, very good. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a bit about the firm that was selected this quarter. A boutique investment firm that's been around since about 1995. More than 10 years of their time has been right on Park Avenue, right on the Bank of America building, right on 250 South Park Ave. Currently, they're holding about 37 employees, with 16 of them living currently within the City of Winter Park residential limits, so we certainly appreciate that. DRZ, as the short term goes, supports several charities, including the Conductive Education Center of Orlando, Arnie's Army, Morningstar, Habitat for Humanity, American Diabetes Foundation, support our scholars, Toys for Tots, and Special Olympics. Also helping and providing another form of investment in a different way, supporting our economic base, hosting many clients and brokers at their office, which has never been visited Winter Park. We certainly assume those are accounted for someplace in their expense reports. More importantly, their founders are Rollins graduates, which speak to the success not only of the college, but the community, providing an attractive foundation to do business that people want to call home. So we certainly value that as well. One of the great things about this program is that we're able to recognize firms that are not only in the spotlight, but those that also follow underneath the limelight, that bring just as much as to our community, and particularly ones that have strong local ties. So I do want to recognize the four individuals who are here with us today. Kurt Wood, Partner and Director of Client Services. Lori Harlan, Partner and Senior Research Analyst. Erica Fox, Client Service Associate. And John Race, Co-Chief Executive Officer and Co-Founding Partner. So with that, I certainly want to ask you all if you are welcome to come up here and accept this award on behalf of staff and
last time I stood at this podium, I got in trouble from Commissioner Sprinkler for not saying my name. I got going.
I'm in trouble with Commissioner Sprinkler every 2 weeks. Welcome to the club.
But it's nice to be here, and just thank you all very much for this honor. As was mentioned by Kyle, a lot of our clients and visitors to DRZ don't know much about Winter Park. A lot of our clients are from all around the country who come to visit our little city here, and we really enjoy hosting them and But one of our more prominent clients is right here with us today, and I want to recognize David Odahowski. We've had the pleasure of managing money for the Edith Bush Foundation for a number of years and appreciate your attendance here today. And we expect to be here for many, many years to come and really enjoy working and operating here in the city of Winter Park. And we thank you all very much for this honor. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask Laura also to come up for this next presentation. But I will say I had the honor of welcoming the freshmen and transfers into Rollins College just this past Thursday, I think it was. And I told most of them that, or I told them that some of them would be back here to live and work and set up shop. So it's good to see some Rollins folks gain great success in our city for a long time coming. So, Laura, it's your turn. Summer Youth Enrichment Program.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We are here to acknowledge our providers and our participants in our 2017 Summer Youth Enrichment Program. This year we were able to have 15, so we had five additional on top of the 10 we've had for the past several years. We also have two new providers amongst us today, and I'm going to call them up. We're going to start with the providers because it looks like several of my students were not able to attend today. We have, when I call your name, if you could just come up and join us, that would be great. We have Sean Schaefer with the Winter Park Library. Robin DeMar with Wellburn Ave Nursery. I do not see Peter and Jan from Creole Day. Barbara Chandler with the Heritage Center. Ronnie Moore with the Winter Park Community Center. Allie DiMaria with Winter Park Day Nursery. Crystal Levson with Winter Park Day Nursery. And Jessica Lewis with the American Cancer Society. There they are. And here they are. Craig, we're going to let them.
Sure. Do you want me in here?
Yes. Oh. I want you in here with the providers. We have everyone here. Los Angeles. And I don't feel so tall. Sure. We can do that. I was trying to break it in two because we had such a large group.
Okay.
I also wanted to say a big thank you to the Rollins staff that have helped me for the past 4 years, I believe, doing the business etiquette class. Today we have Trace Locke and Linda Puritz. Jackie Brito was unable to join us today. But if I could get you guys to come up and join us as well.
Busy week for you. Yes,
they've been very instrumental in providing a lot of guidance for the students for the program. Give them theirs. I know you're telling me to hurry up, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're just. I didn't have them in order today. Sorry. I don't know where those are.
I think you have it. They should be.
I'm going to stay out of this one. All right. Now for our students. Let me see what I have out there. We have Kobe Sipp, Destiny Walton. Come on up when I call you, please. Titus Law, Antonio Ingram, Nia Brown. We have her. Alana Lloyd, Daniel Hewley, Isarian Darby, Edward Francis, see him right there. Brianna York, Alicia Morris, Perry Barnacle, Jada Oliver, Jalen Lewis, and Naraya Lewis.
There I am behind Steve's head.
As long as we have this in the middle, that's
it. Is that enough? Yes.
Congratulations to all of you.
Hey, this is Mike. Yeah. Hi, Mike.
Thank you, sir.
The only thing I have left on my mayor's report, well, one thing I'm going to sneak in here. I just spoke to the city manager prior to the meeting. Well, I saw something really interesting, and I think it's something I'd like to propose, and hopefully I get support from the commission. University following a university that you all know, I'm not going to mention its name because I'll get but with they follow the lead of Home Depot, which actually has a parking spot reserved in many of their locations for Purple Medal recipients, Medal of Honor recipients. So the Purple Heart, what did I say, Purple Medal? Sorry, it's been a rough morning already. The Purple Heart recipients. And what I'd like to do is see if we can do the same thing. I'd love the support of the commission to dedicate a single spot at City Hall for anyone. We have logos that we can put on the asphalt and put up a sign. I think it's the least we could do to show our appreciation for those injured in battle to provide a little bit better parking space when parking is at a premium in the city. So if we could locate a spot, I'd propose something down closer to right there near the entrance to the parking lot, Randy. Maybe we put out, and again, you can find the stencil to put in a metal Purple Heart parking space. So if I have support from the commission on that.
Yeah, I would ask, can we ask them where the best location might be for a space?
Ask who?
I'm assuming there's an association.
There's not, I'm sure there's an association.
Like the guys in the Navy ships.
I think we'll let staff take care of that and be in communication with, there's many veterans groups in the area that they can probably talk to. Is that acceptable?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Sounds
very good. It's a great idea.
Thank you. The other thing I have here on the mayor's report is the library event center discussion. I bring this up simply, I know that there is a lot happening with the event center and the library, but I hear from some people, I'm hearing, I just want to stay up to date on it. I want there to be a little bit more discussion about it to find out where we are. I've heard that there's different names for it. Some people are going around calling it a knowledge center. I think that there's some discussions that are happening that are not necessarily official discussions, or there are official discussions happening that we may not all be aware of. So I just wanted to kind of bring that up, and I'm going to, I know one of the reasons that the golf course was so successful was due to the work of the task force that was put in place there. So I'm going to bring to you next week the idea of a task force and a small group to try to make sure that the interests of the citizens are represented. I know they are by staff. I know they are by the library. But I want kind of the individual parties to kind of come together and make sure we're all on the same page with this moving forward. So that's what I'm going to do next week. But I figured I'd open up for discussion this week and see if you all have any kind of points you want to bring up. Because I may be the only one hearing that, but I'm not sure.
I actually have not heard those things, but that doesn't mean that it's not going on. And absolutely, we need to communicate between all those groups, and we need to make sure that Clarissa is involved to get that message out to the community so there isn't misunderstandings. I would think perhaps that our existing, the players that are already involved could maybe just meet as that committee if as you consider that for next week instead of introducing a whole new layer of people.
I think the people that I introduce you will be extremely familiar with, and they'll be familiar with
that's
the project.
What I was just thinking. We ought to do people that are already involved and just kind of pull them together so that we're getting the word to Clarissa so she can get it to the residents.
Mm-hmm. Question? Side up?
I'm sorry. Did we, the library task force timed out, the older one?
It did.
Okay. So are we looking to pull some of those folks back in?
Yeah, it will be. It will probably include members of that as well as the library board. But again, they had a very sole focus on specifically to the library mostly. But this is also once I want to bring in the event center aspect of it too. So yeah, it'll include that.
Okay, so the other thing that I wanted to bring up is I know that we've talked about a naming policy, mm-hmm. and that naming policy still has to be approved at this place. Is
That's
that
correct?
And so I would think that it would be really important for us to move on that so that they have something in hand that they can use. So I don't know where we are on that, and that's one of the things that I think that they need to move forward also.
So I can bring that up, and Randy, correct me if I'm wrong. We met with the library representatives 2 months ago
or longer.
We took the proposal that they had for the I did myself, Randy. Is Kurt involved in that or just you and I? I don't recall. But at least Randy and I met with the members of the library board, and we discussed some issues we may have had with the naming policy, and they took it back, and they were going to I think discuss it amongst themselves and then bring it back to us. So it's out there, and they just need to get back to us with us. Get back to us with it.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to just try and understand a little more of the intent here. Is it more one of communication, or is it actually to advise kind of the commission on how they think we should be viewing things?
I think it's probably a little of everything. It's to try to create some context around what this thing is and how we present it to the community and where we're heading, where we are. There's a lot going on, and it's really kind of pulling it all together and presenting it to us. They're kind of, they would be, if you will, reporting back to this commission just on where things are, in addition to helping city manager wrangle things together with the different groups that are involved. Kind of like, exactly almost like the golf course task force did.
Yeah, did y'all get the one email about the library board? That the question
yes.
was asked about that
yes.
About
yes.
On that board. And I guess what I'm is that's the nonprofit is the library board, and they run the library board. So it's almost is we're kind of getting a library advisory board just during the construction process.
This is not going to be to run the library. This
and I know there's fundraising going on.
It's not going to do that. This is not replacing any boards that the library has. It's working with some of the folks from the library, and again, they'll have representation on this task force, working with the city. Just trying to create a little.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm trying to understand. If we're going to define them, that's what I really need to understand a little bit better of kind of what the role is. I mean, my understanding, you know, was we had the presentation coming, right, of what mm-hmm. the architect's putting together.
Right.
And then I guess the if it's to stop the rumor mill, that could be a good thing. But if it's, you know, it's. I guess I'm kind of looking at how.
You're creating some context for it, Greg, if you will. I think, that, again, the same thing happened with the golf course. There was a lot of where are we heading? What's this? There's people throwing input out. There's people reaching out to the golf course architects that shouldn't have been reaching out to the golf course architects. And so there's a lot of. There just needs to be a kind of settling and a organization added to it.
Is that something like Brooks would be in charge of this?
No.
I mean, it's like who's running the library for the city on our end? Who's running that, and shouldn't that person, like who's going to head this board up from the city? That's what I'm asking. Is this like Randy sits in those meetings?
Randy can sit ex officio.
Or is it something that, you know, that's where I was.
Yeah, he can sit. Randy, certainly somebody from staff is going to be involved in it.
Okay. mean, I'd like to, you know, put some thought into it, and what are we getting out of it? That's what mm-hmm. I'd like to understand.
Okay, we'll have more next meeting.
If you could provide us something, Steve, ahead of time, because it is a little bit confusing to understand why we need yet another board when we have so many
sure.
professionals.
I would just think of it again like the golf course task force that really created that golf course for us. Commissioner.
So while you're thinking about boards, don't forget what I suggested about the Children and Families Board. Okay, I know that it didn't get any votes up here because we didn't go that far, but I still don't want to completely lose the fact that at some point we know everybody deals with that. But because I've sat on so many and sit on the one for Orlando for this commission, I think it would be still something for us to be hooved to look into.
Okay.
Mayor, Commissioners, just a quick comment. So I think what the mayor's suggesting is a task committee, not a board. Which is under the city's code, you can create a limited purpose task for a period of time, separate and distinct from a long-term permanent board.
That's correct.
Okay,
Mr. City Manager.
Thank you. First item under my report is the presentation from the Winter Park Historical Association. I believe we have Susan Schofield here to give the commission an annual update.
Hello. How's everyone doing?
Excellent.
Thank you, Mary. Mayor Leary and commissioners.
I'm Susan. Mary.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mayor. Okay. Sorry.
It's been a long time.
Sorry. I'm Susan Schofield, Executive Director of the Winter Park History Museum. I'd like to thank you for your generous support this past year and share with you an overview of our accomplishments. I think you'll see that your investment has been managed well for the benefit of all of our citizens, as well as those who visit the museum from around the world. Our role at the WPHM is to be the custodian of the city archives and to present our city's history with engaging exhibitions. Our numbers indicate that we have been successful. To date, we've had 20,333 visitors since October 1st, 2016, including the Be My Neighbor Day event. We are meeting or exceeding the benchmark set in last year's contract with the city. We have wonderful volunteer docents who have contributed over 1,300 hours of their time. This is a photo of our youngest docent, Aziza Galley, the daughter of our board secretary, Alicia Nickel. I'd like to begin with a report on our programming and community engagement over the course of this past year. As you can see, our guests represent visitors from 117 Florida towns and cities, 42 states, and 39 countries, including Argentina, El Salvador, Germany, the Philippines, and Zimbabwe. This information was taken directly from our guest sign-in logs and museum surveys. Our speaker events were well attended and included Thomas Tart, who presented Florida Heroes of World War II in October 2016, Jane and Lillian Castleberry, who presented World War II Stories from the Home Front, and in collaboration with the Hannibal Square Heritage Center, we presented a panel entitled Growing Up in Winter Park, 1924 to 1980, featuring four outstanding citizens who shared their experiences about growing up on the west side of Winter Park. These events are an excellent way for us to collaborate with other local organizations and create a dialogue with our community about the history, culture, and legacy of our town. In March, we celebrated our third annual Be My Neighbor Day in Central Park in collaboration with our local PBS station, WUCF-TV. Over 3,000 children and family members joined us for our third year of family fun in the park.
Calling all neighbors, you won't want to miss Be My Neighbor Day, February 25th at Central Park in Winter Park. There'll be lots of fun crafts and activities, plus you can meet Daniel Liger himself. Join WUCF and the Winter Park History Museum for Be My Neighbor Day. It's going to be a terrific time.
This 22nd spot played in seven counties within Central Florida. This engaging community event celebrates the influence of one of our most famous citizens, Fred Rogers. Together with WUCF-TV, we provided fun activities which promoted the life lessons of kindness and community taught by Mr. Rogers.
Thank you.
Great thanks to the Winter Park Police Department and Fire Department. The police officers and firemen, as well as their vehicles, were a huge hit. We are scheduled for our fourth annual Be My Neighbor Day with WUCF-TV on Saturday, February 17, 2018. This event will be part of the City of Winter Park's Weekend of the Arts. We have collaborated with a number of local organizations, including City of Winter Park, Criolde School of Art, Hannibal Square Heritage Center, Kelly Price and Company, the New Image Youth Center, Palatchik Museum and Sculpture Gardens, Rollins College, Winter Park Chamber of Commerce, Winter Park High School, Winter Park Magazine, Winter Park Public Library. By the way, Penelope will be performing at the library on September 29th, and the Winter Park Art Festival. We welcome groups from a number of local organizations, including Westminster Winter Park, the Mayflower, Orlando Lutheran Towers, Rollins Crummer Business School Alumni Association, Winter Park Chamber of Commerce Youth Leadership Group, and many others. We also launched a new program called Hands on History, where we bring various items from our archives to share with younger audiences. We debuted this program at the New Image Youth Center in downtown Orlando and have also presented it at the Be My Neighbor Day and the Art Festival. This year, our Penelope Princess of the Peacocks children's show has continued to grow. At one of our recent shows, we had close to 130 moms, dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, nannies, and children. We also perform annually at the Welburn Avenue Nursery and the Winter Park Day Nursery. We are grateful to the city for allowing us to use the Farmers Market space for the Penelope Show every Monday morning. This show has become an integral part of what we do at the museum. It provides interactive and educational programming for young children and introduces them to history. We encourage the kids and their caregivers to visit the museum after the show and take part in the interactive aspects of our exhibit. This is a free 25-minute show held every Monday morning at 10 a.m. In fact, I believe Penelope may be here with a few of her friends. And all of her friends. We're very grateful. Our upcoming exhibition, which will open on June 7, 2018, is entitled The Hotels and Motels of Winter Park. Starting with the Rogers House and continuing with other current and past Winter Park landmarks, including the Seminole Hotel, the Langford Resort Hotel, the numerous motels along 1792, and finally with the most recent Winter Park Hotel, the beautiful Alfund Inn. There are 23 members on our volunteer exhibition team, including Professor Jack Lane, curator Camila Velasquez, and historian Ed Gefeller. I'd like to thank the Winter Park History Museum Board of Directors as well, and our president, Patty Shaney, for their leadership and commitment this past year. And of course, once again, our great thanks to Mayor Leary and the City Commissioners for your past support and consideration of your continued support in 2018.
Thank you, Susan. Before you go, can I just ask if anybody has any questions for you? I know you gave us a lot. You do a wonderful job, so thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks. I didn't see you. Thank you. Thanks for coming. All right, Randy, I'm going to... It's kind of hard to beat a peacock and some singing kids.
But, yeah, I bet the city attorney doesn't have that on his report.
Yeah, they say don't follow kids or animals, right? So
just a reminder, Mr. Mayor, that on September 27th, we do have the library special meeting at the Alfond, where we'll hear from Sir David Ajay on our proposed library conceptual plan.
So what date was that again, Randy?
September 27th, 5:30, I believe, right, Clarissa? Yes, 5:30.
And where are we?
At the Alfond.
And who's there? Just us?
It'll be a public meeting, but it'll be the city commission hearing.
It's a presentation to us.
On the conceptual plans, open to the public. Right.
Okay. Great.
That concludes my report.
Anything for city manager?
Just a question about the R2 property that was part of Powell Ranch. Will that be coming back for rezoning soon? Or?
Sure. Yeah, we'll rezone all that to the appropriate park.
Well, I think there's only the one that's residential, but it was about the R2 zoning of some of the Howell Branch property. Just wanted to make sure that we don't lose the momentum and we go ahead and get that rezoned to parkland. That's all. Thank you.
You're talking about the latest acquisition?
Right. My question is, Randy, some of that is...
it's not the Maitland Park.
Right, the Maitland Park. You just want the city with the park. Yeah, we can do that. When do we close?
We have 90 days to close, and we're working through the title work.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
So we just saw this presentation, and this is one of the groups that we fund. Do we normally get a summary from each of those groups, or do we have a mechanism by which we can, you know, pick up a little report that says these are the 10 organizations, and I don't know that we get a presentation from all of them, but do we get that regularly?
We get it as staff. If the commission would like to get those, we can pass those along.
Or just know where they are. Okay, thank you.
That would be helpful.
I have one more, sorry.
Well, may I just add that I sit in my capacity here as the mayor, but I think the CRA board would probably appreciate that too. Anybody coming to the CRA board for funding would probably, that would be appreciated.
Okay,
Christian.
Okay, so where are we on Parks and Rec person?
I have not begun the process at this point. Right now I have Michelle Nooner working as the acting director of Parks and Recreation. She's getting there, you know, getting there, understanding what all the different parts are. We're looking at some possible reorganizations, but Mr. Holland's official last day is not till middle of September, end of September, so we're waiting for that to complete the process.
To complete the process? Well, it sounds like
but you're not waiting to start the process, right?
I have not yet advertised the position.
All right. Thanks. Okay.
Thank you.
And Terry Hotard, I understand he's...
He retired, yes.
Is there anybody else? Any other big surprises?
Well, you knew, but
I think we covered this last...
Lena?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that, too.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
Is there any... But nobody else at that senior level?
No. Okay, Mr. Arnold.
Just one item, Mayor, Commissioners.
Yes, sir.
We have a mediation in the Morgan Bellows Winter Park litigation on Friday. And I'd ask if the commission sees fit to appoint Randy Knight as the city's representative for that mediation.
I'm happy to do that. To look for a
second.
Few more
second.
Nods. I think you just need nods, correct? You don't need an official action, Mr. Arderman?
Yeah.
We can take three nods. It's just administrative.
That's fine.
Right?
Just don't. We're fine. That's fine.
Okay. Great. You have the nods.
So he will be the representative for the city at the mediation.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the city attorney? Mr. Seidel.
Yeah, is that similar to the last process we went through?
Different. The last process, you mean...
The last process 20 minutes ago, or the last process?
No, the last process.
No.
It's two different things.
The last mediation process?
Yes.
Right, the Howell Branch.
The Howell Branch.
Howell Branch is a whole separate statutory process. This is just a typical mediation in a lawsuit. So Randy will sit in during the mediation, and he'll... decide whether, with our counsel on the other side of the mediator going back and forth, whether there's a resolution to be had that he could come back and bring to the City Commission for approval or not.
But this is court-ordered mediation.
It still comes back to us for approval.
It's a very different process than the other process. The other one is not, although we have to participate in it, it's very unlike that.
So but does
it does
this
not
one
have the same kind of statutory time deadlines and separate hearings and recommendations. It's a straight sit down. If you can get it settled by mediation, it's brought back to the City Commission for yes or no.
Would it behoove us to have a conversation about what he's making the decisions on and if we have any preference in which direction he goes in a shade meeting or not?
We can. It's going to be tight because the mediation is set for this Friday, but we could do that.
Would you do me? I think rather than a shade meeting, perhaps you can just brief the council individually.
Yeah, glad to.
No, that's okay.
Fine. I can talk to the individual.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions for the city attorney? Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have non-action items. Dory? No, wrong Dory. Dory Verstone. Who's presenting this? Lee?
Yes.
All right. Lee, first time presenting?
First time presenting.
All right.
So be easy on me, please.
All right. Dory's really putting you guys up today. You got Kyle.
It's not Dory's.
It's
Michelle throwing
it. Michelle's throwing them up there.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for having me and being able to present to you today. I'm here to talk about our master plan and where we are. So the first question that might come up to some of you is, what is the purpose of a master plan? And the purpose is to objectively assess leisure and recreation needs in the community with the goal of ensuring that the city resources are invested in the programs and facilities that are most valued by the citizens of Winter Park. There are a lot of reasons for a master plan, but probably the five most important are to provide a written framework for future action that acts as a guide for sensible facility and service development, ensure community input opportunities, share information about programs and facilities with the community, gain a clear sense of direction for the park system, and improve funding opportunities and partnerships. So our existing master plan was completed in 2008, and two major parts of that have been totally completed. That's Ward Park and Howe Branch Preserve. There are two other parts in that plan that are yet to be started, but they're under consideration, and that's the tree farm and Lake Baldwin Park. However, on Lake Baldwin Park, we have done a community playground build there, and I believe that was in 2013.
And you did the new restroom facility.
And the new restroom facility.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay, so what's happening now that was not in the master plan? Well, we're doing an MLK park master plan. There's the new Civic Center Library master plan, and there's a Mead Garden Inc. master plan that's just about to get started. So what's changed since 2008? We've added 50 new acres of parkland to the Parks Department that does not include the new Howe Branch property. And then the recreation trends, I can assure you, have changed. In the 2008 master plan, national standards from 1999 were used. So those standards that we have now are over 18 years old. Also in the original master plan, we did not have a GIS component in that plan. That's become really important nowadays to be able to efficiently map and have your information in a kind of a storage bin that you can use and future people can use. Okay, so support for the master plan process. We're going to implement the vision in Winter Park. A master plan is required by our comp plan, and a master plan is necessary for us to retain CAPRA accreditation. On the vision, there are three of the four themes. It's to cherish and sustain Winter Park's extraordinary quality of life, plan our growth through a collaborative process that protects our city's timeless scale and character, and enhance the Winter Park brand through a flourishing community of arts and culture. Policy 6-2.5.4 in the comprehensive plan talks about the need for a master plan. I don't want to read this whole thing to you, but the city shall update its park master plan at least every 5 years. And part of that is a survey of the residents or an analysis of recreation demands and trends to determine the recreation programs, facilities, and events that are most desired by city residents. CAPRA accreditation. CAPRA is the Commission for Accreditation of Parks and Recreation Agencies. There are 151 standards for national accreditation. To remain accredited, we must meet all 37 fundamental standards, and we must meet 108 of the 114 non-fundamental standards. Standard 2.4 is where the master plan would fall. And it says that the plan shall be officially adopted by the policymaking body, updated periodically, and linked with the capital improvement budget in a phased development program. The system master plan shall implement policies adopted in the comprehensive plan for the jurisdiction. Interested and affected agencies, organizations, and groups shall be engaged in the planning process. So we kind of had a discussion internally and came up with kind of two ways to update our master plan. Number one would be an administrative update of our current plan, and the second would be a completely new master plan. In either option, a statistically valid survey needs to be completed, and that is about a $20,000 item.
Leif, can I interrupt you to ask a question, or will that mess you up? Would yeah. you rather me wait? Okay. When we look at the master plan update here, do you believe that for that $100,000 you can actually implement adding the bike and pedestrian green connection within that number?
I think, and we'll get to that. Okay. The connectivity part would be a big
part. Because I noticed that was another one of the comp plan policies.
Yep, absolutely.
Thought we'd adopted.
So like we're doing the update of the current plan for the new statistically valid survey, it's estimated around $20,000. And to actually execute an updated plan, or to create an updated plan, it's about another $40,000. So you're at $60,000 to update our current plan. A new master plan is estimated to be about $100,000. And obviously an RFP would be required if we went that route.
So those are two options, not
Those are the two options that we've kind of come up with.
Okay. What do you get for that extra $40,000?
You get a third party giving you an item that.
Oh, is that all within staff? One's in house, mm-hmm. and it's yeah, given that update. Given right. that we've moved a lot of personnel, that would be tough, I think.
The first option would be a review of the existing master plan, so an update, an administrative review of the existing plan. Right. The second option would be a brand new plan, starting from scratch.
And in your professional opinion, is.
I think staff could do a review. I think we're not specialists, obviously, in statistically valid surveys or compiling some of the data.
Right.
I think we could do it. It would certainly take that full year if we were to attempt it. Okay, so length of time. Pretty much either way, it's going to be a full year. And what takes that long is to do the statistically valid survey. Obviously, we need to hold many workshops and public meetings. We need to complete a new park inventory, and then the final presentation would be given to the commission for approval for acceptance and implementation.
Do we not use anything online? I mean, a year? Can't we do this a lot quicker?
Well, we don't have an official plan yet because we've just asked for some loose quotes.
So I want something that take a year. That's
it could be shortened. But to do a statistically valid survey, we'd probably use multiple methods of surveying. You'd probably do some online, and then you'd go back and supplement to find the different age groups and demographics that weren't surveyed. I mean, this is very loose.
This is kind of a broad presentation for us. This is what we asked for.
And part of that, too, is determining when's best to do the survey. Obviously, you don't want to do it between Thanksgiving and the new year.
Well, of course not.
And over summer, so you're kind of limited on some of your time there. So staff recommendation, we recommend to invest in a new master plan. Staff's recommendation is to complete it over two fiscal years, to coordinate the plan with all of the existing master plans that are currently happening, which includes Mead, MLK, and Howe Branch Preserve. And a component of this plan needs to be connectivity. We really don't have that now. And that will tie together parks, trails, and all of the facilities that we have. We'd like to see the commission to establish an annual implementation budget, and we'd like to update the comprehensive plan. It currently says it needs to be updated every 5 years. We'd like to update that to 10 years.
Why? You mean 10 years between master plans?
10 years between master plans. And the reason for that is, obviously, one, a big one is funding, mm-hmm. and to be able to implement your plan, it's tough to do over 5 years.
You're talking about the concept portions in the back. I hate to be using data that was 10 years old, but I do understand how the concepts. We will be voting on the budget to implement the plan, so I'd hate to be looking at data that was 10 years old. But what you're saying is for the concept portion or even for the stats?
For the concept portion.
Okay, that's important. Okay, I agree with that.
May I clarify that this was done in 2008, and we did not do one in 2013 anyway, right?
That's correct.
So we've already gone 10 years, people. Okay.
10 doesn't make it okay, Sarah.
I don't think it is okay. I'm just saying that
it is time.
It's past time.
Yeah. And the trends of that 2008 one came from 1999.
Right. So that makes it even older. Sure.
That makes it a little bit older.
I think we've done pretty well with it.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot of it done.
Mm-hmm. We have the majority of it, I think. In fact, the only reason I could...
Any questions for Leif?
Well, the time period, I appreciate Sarah's feelings about the time. However, I do see why with the MLK, with the library going forward, that particular portion should be integrated at the right point in time, which might not be tomorrow, you know, but that would be the only area that I would see where it should take, you know, too much time. But I do appreciate the fact that you are considering doing your surveying at a time when people can participate. That's important. And I'm 100% in favor of funding the master plan and moving forward. Great parks and great cities go together, and we're a great city, and I want to see our parks remain a high priority for the city because it is for the citizens.
Mr. Seidel.
I had two comments, really. One was a question. I have been out to the dog park. I have been out recently, but the turf was not in really good shape out there at the dog park. Is one.
I have 1,000 dogs running over it, see how your turf looks.
Right. And so I just didn't know if we looked at any strategy to try and figure out something to do with the turf out there.
We've looked at some.
Going to the budget year also.
Outside of restricting use, it's going to be very difficult.
Well, is that possible to kind of rotate like you do with crops? You know, figure out
what we do with our sports fields.
And cows and things like that.
It is definitely possible. Whether it's well received, that's the difficult part of it.
And what we found is the users like it the way it is. They understand that it's not going to be grass because dogs are running and digging and playing out there. So the people who use it as a dog park seem to be understanding that it's not going to be.
Okay, the people I talked to weren't when I was. They were asking me if I could get some grass out here. I'll bring it up.
However, we move forward in the future. Can you just make that know that? And again, if the answer is it's preferred to be, then that's a pretty easy group to get a hold of.
Absolutely.
Okay. Chris, or something else? I think you said you had two.
Right? Yeah. If you go back to your slide number 13, and you know, this I believe is a little bit of what. The emails we've been receiving from Bob Bendick and Charlie Williams is on. And I did have a conversation with Dory on the phone about this. And kind of when we talk about this Greenways connection plan, I kind of look at it as I do feel in a way the MLK plan got a bit away from us as a commission as to what was going on and what they were looking at, even though it's, you know, we just – I guess we weren't so much involved in the development of that scope, if you will. And so I kind of looked at this as more of a two-stage process, is they can bring all that GIS data together and then kind of look at where these greenways might be and do what they call a conceptual study or feasibility study. And then from that, we could kind of, as the commission, decide, well, here's what we'd really like you to look at to see if this can come true or not. And kind of so that we know exactly what they're studying, exactly what's coming back. So, as far as the time frame, I think that's something that do we want to try and accelerate that, and how can that be accelerated? But to me, it's kind of this first, when we went through the comp plan, we updated all the parks areas in GIS. We've kind of done all that, and we've got that information there. So, what do we need to kind of validate what we have done? Has that been done? Can staff handle that? And then the when I say update the old plan, does that mean, when you say update it, do you mean just kind of do a next phase, or do you mean kind of say here's what's left?
an administrative...
Can I just offer this up, please? I think whichever way we go, we're probably going to need these to be both flushed out a little bit. Before, I don't think any of us are really have enough knowledge or have enough information right now to say I'm for Plan 1 or Plan 2. I think we need more detail on both. So I think that that should be coming forward to us, because we're not taking action tonight.
Well, that's kind of where I was going with this conceptual, is like, is this something that can be put together pretty quick and back to us for this? But I would like to get money in the budget to do the update, but I don't really know how much that, you know, these are estimates, and how quickly can that work actually be done, and what are we trying to get out of? Because I look at it two different things. I look at one is the function of the parks, right? These parks are going to do X, Y, and Z, and the other is the greenway connectivity, which I think a lot of people have an interest in to see how that might look, where the function of the parks may be something that, right, until the library is done, until we finish the MLK, then we don't know what other resources we need from a parks perspective. So I can see that being drawn out, but I would like to try and get this greenways pushed forward, knowing it's going to connect these points. And so that's where, if we do that conceptual plan, I'm kind of looking at it as that is the connectivity of the parks, and then there's the scope to what are we doing in these places. Some of it's going to be apparent what we're doing. Some of them we might change the use within those parks.
Well, I think a lot of work is done from the PID and bike board and the transportation folks. I mean, there's a lot of work out there that just needs, and I'm glad that it's now reporting to you. It's a perfect time to integrate all those boards and departments underneath you to make this happen. So I'm very much in favor of moving forward with the master plan.
Brandy, how much money is in the budget next year, the parks budget, to do any of this? I don't recall.
Zero.
Is there anything? Is there
one? Nothing budgeted for a master plan at this point.
Okay, let me just say one more thing, too. And I think that we just discussed it. Commissioner Sprinkle, I believe you asked the question regarding a new parks director. So I don't want to get too far ahead of this either when we're having a parks director come. I'd hate to have somebody hired midstream come in and, you know, it'd be much nicer to get that person's input, too. So if that's just...
That's actually our strategy for the true fiscal year implementation.
Sure.
We were thinking this would probably get started around March, by the time we get somebody hired and put a scope and an RFP out. This won't get started until March, and if it's going to take a year, it'd probably be next March before it's completely finished.
Well,
and that's why I was saying that connectivity portion of it, to me, is what we can be doing now, and the parks function is what he can be doing or she can be doing when this person's hired.
So then let me just ask that question. Is this something, this portion that Mr. Seidel is asking for, is it something that you all feel would be out of place, or is he's bringing up a timeline? Is that something you feel comfortable with getting this done beforehand? Do you think that would still be relevant, or is
the Parks and Rec the right people to be doing it?
I think that's the greater question. But Parks and Rec, I think, would be comfortable, especially working with the bike board and other boards to put some sort of trail
transportation
concept together.
We can certainly get a quote for advancing just the portion of the project that is related to connectivity.
Would you bring that back to us, please?
Absolutely.
And, and see if that makes sense from a timing standpoint, implementation standpoint. Is that good for you?
No, that's great.
Commissioner Sprinkle.
Okay, so I know that we spend 16% of our budget right now on parks and recreation. In my brain, we should be allocating money every single year for this process. This is not something that should just be coming around once every 5 years or once every 10 years.
12
years. And so what I would like to see us do, we have the data. You brought me the data. I see the data all the time. I know how many people are going here and how many people are going there. Somebody does need to put the data together. So the data is what you got to start with, right? So I'm up here, y'all are telling me this is going to take 2 years, and it's making me crazy because this shouldn't take 2 years, okay? The data is so easy to access. You may have to have some help putting it together, and then we're going to have a lot of input on where we go with this. But the data is already out there.
Well, we can certainly do that, and we can do that internally. We can pull together the data of usage and the kind of offerings we have. That's all available, and we can do a management report on that. The piece that I think would be more time-consuming and that would extend the project is doing the statistically valid survey, doing the parks inventory, drawing conceptual plans for various park areas, putting together a 10-year funding plan for the parks. That's all the pieces that are going to take longer. But in terms of providing a management tool or giving you some sort of information about what's being provided today, the number of folks that are using it, that we can do internally.
Well, that would be, in my brain, where we should start, is to look at what we already know, okay, and then move towards whatever it is we're going to have for that plan. I know that you can't do all of that now, and I understand why that might take longer, but I would like to see us not just get this together for now. I think we should always have this available.
So can we, to that point too, I think what we're missing here, Michelle and Leaf, is just probably a little bit more context for each one of these plans.
Sure.
To Commissioner Sprinkle's point, to your discussion, perhaps it would be helpful if you could bring it forward, saying we can take care of this in the next 3 months, and just break it down a little bit for us so we have a little bit more to
Absolutely.
Go. Okay? Because we're just looking at costs and time right now. We're looking at anywhere from $60,000 to $100,000 and anywhere from a year to 2 years. Just needs to provide a little bit more detail in each one of those points.
Absolutely.
Is that okay?
Because we want to get it in this budget. It's very important.
Sure.
Okay. Any other questions for anyone? Staff? No? Leif, thanks.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Well done, Leif.
Well done. First time.
Yep.
All right. Okay, folks, we'll take citizen comments closer to 5 o'clock. The consent agenda.
I'd like to pull the minutes, please.
Commissioner Cooper's pulling the minutes. Anything
else? 9C2.
9C2, are you pulling those or holding yourself out?
I'm recusing myself.
You are recusing yourself. Okay. You've discussed that with the city attorney.
It's the same issue over and over.
Yes. Over and over again.
Okay, just want to make sure you have
it. It's all that cash.
Okay, then I will move 9B and C1. Yes.
And I'll second.
Okay, anyone wishing to address the commission on items 9A or 9B? I'm sorry, 9B and 9C1. Now is your time. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Commissioner Cooper, the minutes.
Yes, on page 11 of 11 of the minutes, page 20 of the agenda packet, I would just like to see the minutes be more reflective of the particular point that Mr. Peterson was trying to make. Right now it simply says that Dan Peterson, representing James Madison Institute, spoke about the fiber proposal and provided information. I went back to Dan to ask him to summarize his particular points, and he sent me back an email that I'd be glad to share with anyone. But basically, if I narrow it down to the key words, what it would simply say is that Mr. Peterson spoke on the stewardship of the commission to identify the needs, wants, cost, and whether or not private providers might already be in a position to provide fiber optics at potentially a lower cost and a greater degree of experience. And I would like to see the minutes actually reflect the intent of his comments.
I've seen those comments, Commissioner, and frankly, I don't think that we need to ask people who presented to this commission to amend our minutes for us. I don't accept those. I think the minutes reflect enough for us. They are just outline minutes, so I don't see the need to do that. And quite frankly, I don't think we should be asking people to provide their edits to our minutes.
Well, that wasn't my intent. My intent was to do it myself, but I thought that it would be much better to actually make sure that I was directly quoting. So I listened to the audio, and it was a very important point, and I just think that as our minutes are there, we should try to reflect the comments of people who travel and try to participate in our deliberation. And if I do not have the support of the commission, I certainly understand that, but I wanted to bring it forward and give us an opportunity to leave meaningful minutes.
Well, Commissioner, if you say your intent was not to get someone to write the minutes for you, but you actually have an email that says, if you would provide me a summary of your intended message, it sounds like you did.
Right. No, I actually took what he sent me, listened to the audio, and reduced about half of it. So, no, I wasn't quite that gracious. But what I have read to you is a condensed version of the points he was trying to make.
What if in just these meeting minutes we put Commissioner Cooper received an email and it's in the file? Like the meeting for this meeting minutes.
I could do that.
And it's what's happening at this meeting.
I understand.
These are not
minutes.
These are overview minutes. So,
but just to get that information.
Commissioner Cooper is asking for a second to what she's asked for, and we'll leave that out there. If anybody would like to second that, we can certainly, or give her a nod.
Okay. If you said it, I would.
Great, but it wasn't a quote.
All right, that's fine. I'd like to make a motion, please, that I submit Mr. Peterson's comments for the public record. Thank you.
Okay, that fails for lack of a second. So we will take a vote on the consent agenda, the minutes, item 9A. Anybody wishing to address the commission on 9A as they are written? Please, now is your time. Seeing none, we'll close the floor. Cindy, you all ready to vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Commissioner Seidel, you are recusing yourself on 9C2. But any other comments?
Move to approve 9C2.
Great. I'll second. Open the floor to public comment on item 9C2. Okay. Seeing nobody, we will vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Cindy, please let the record show that was a 3-0 vote with Mr. Seidel. Excuse me. Recusing himself. Okay, folks, we have the budget discussion. Oh, boy, we're going to get into this before the public comment.
That's your call. You can always shift it to the end if you'd like.
Well, let's do this. I think we might be able to get through this pretty quickly. Some of these things we've already discussed. And Mr. Weldon's not here. I know he sent an email to us, but I'd rather have him address his direct comments, if you all don't mind.
What's the rest of our plan for budget?
Randy, timing on the
timing.
Sure. So the next two meetings, two September meetings, are the public hearings on the budget. So
okay.
That'll come to you in the form of an ordinance. You will adopt an ordinance on the millage rate, and then a separate ordinance on the budget in those two September meetings. If you make any adjustments to the budget tonight, it will be part of our advertisement for the actual budget ordinance. We go ahead and make that change for what gets advertised to the public.
Okay.
You're not required to. You can make the changes at the public hearing if that is the commission's desire.
Okay. Ms. Cooper, you are up.
I'll pass and come back at the end.
Okay. Mr. Seidel, can you address your comments or
go through here? Yeah, I'm happy
to discuss. You have a couple in there, right?
My comments. The one was the street lighting is about moving those costs back to the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
That now that the recession is over, kind of put that back where it's supposed to be, if you ask me. So I'm hoping we can do that.
And are we looking to actually support these now, Steve, or are we just discussing?
I think Randy, probably staff would like direction on it. So yeah, I think we should take a vote on those.
Okay. I have a question about that then. Kurt, will that in any way impact the small cell deployment enforceability with our poles, or does it matter that they're part of the utility company? Yes,
it definitely matters that they're part of the utility.
Yes, it will. So, but I thought, though, that Randy, all of the poles are now have been administratively moved into and under the electric utility division.
That's correct.
So even though the budget won't reflect it, I mean, so it does have some impact, but practically or legally at this point, I think there's been an administrative reincorporation of everything, all the poles the city has into the utility division, correct?
The utility division is paying all the cost of street lighting currently, and so yes, arguably they own the poles, the lamp, every part about the street light. Commissioner Seidel's suggestion is to move that back to the general fund, which is where it used to be.
Right.
Until the
and I support that. I just didn't want to mess up this.
Right.
I think it's a difficult road to have one division pay for it while another owns it, and
yeah,
no sort of partial ownership.
The more indicia we have of the utility actually controlling and owning the poles, the better the city's position is that falls under the exemption under the wireless communication.
It's about $500,000, isn't it? That's quite a bit of money.
Significant $175,000.
Yeah, I thought this was only paying the electric bill. Is it and it's the maintenance?
It's the maintenance.
Well, part of the payment for streetlights is the capital replacement, and I mean it's all part of the rate structure of streetlights is the capital replacement and the electric bill.
Commissioner, I can't support this just given the city attorney's perspective on it. It puts us into a little bit of a pickle if we move forward with this wireless issue.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to understand, how is it not the city's asset either way?
It is.
It is the city's asset either way.
Right. So if the city's paying for it, doesn't that make it more the city's asset?
We have an exemption in this new statute that was passed this year that says...
Statute doesn't apply to...
Municipal electric utilities.
You know, it doesn't exempt cities that own their electric utility.
It exempts equipment owned by electric utilities.
Municipal electric utility. So it's a fine line. And
It's not crystal clear. Right. That's why I just was trying to check in before.
It's a good question.
Because, Greg, I wanted to support that.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm trying to think here is what's the real effect of it, because the lights that are in the DOT right-of-way are in the DOT right-of-way, right? And so we don't have any control over those?
That's correct.
They're accepted.
Well, we do have an agreement with DOT, and to that extent we're using that mechanism to exert some control over those as well.
If it's our pole, we have control over where it gets on our pole.
But as to the DOT right-of-way, that's per the agreement, per the electric community. Yeah, the pole itself is...
This is a hard question, and it's unfair to ask you for that answer on the spot, but I would like to support Greg if we can do that without diminishing our position on the small cell deployment. So if you could maybe bring it back next week, next time we get together, the answer.
I think Mr. Erdman's made his position clear on that already.
Yeah, you're not going to get a crystal clear answer. There are no cases on that.
Okay.
I mean, I could do a lot of research and bring you back something, but the chances are the answer is going to be it's not clear, and if you want that protection, you want to do exactly, you keep it away.
So you don't have the support here. Do we have...
I just want y'all to understand. I mean, that's 20% of the people in the city are getting street lighting paid by the other 80%. And so how do we balance that? Because that's what I'm trying to do. And is there another method to balance it? I'm not doing this just to do it. I'm doing it because I think it's a fair share of how the money is being spent.
I understand. I'm not willing to open ourselves up to legal challenges.
I would like to defer the vote on this for a couple of weeks.
You can come back next week. If you don't care to give him a nod tonight, then he can always bring it back next week. Okay.
Next meeting. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, that's what I'm trying to understand is our street lights, Kurt. So you're saying they could put these on our decorative street lights that we have down Fairbanks if we agree to this. Is that a yes or no question?
If they're owned by an electric municipal utility, then they cannot, unless you allow them as part of your ordinance. So only to the extent you allow them.
If they come back directly owned by the city, it opens us up to that possibility.
Right.
Okay, so then on our, you know, asset sheet, does those lights show up as an asset to the electric company, or do they show up as an asset to the city? How are we documenting those? And there's lots of legal things.
So, Commissioner, why don't we save this, since I think we've spent some time on this, and I think you've heard from the rest of the commission. If you'd like further information, please sit down with the city commissioner. The city manager. Because you're asking very specific questions, he's probably going to have to go back and check the balance sheet and all those different things. So, and I think they're all valid questions, but if you could pull them aside.
We're not going to try to go through all of this at today's meeting.
Well, we'd like to. If we can.
By 5 o'clock, Carolyn.
I just thought maybe we should move our public
spend
hearings
that much time
forward
we,
so that people
just
don't.
Just say yes and we'll move quick.
Yeah. Or we say no and you'll get your three nods. So next one, Mr. Seidel.
I called this traffic management cooperation with the DOT, and this had more to do with the signalization program they have going on in the TSMO, I think they call it. But it's essentially the smart signalization that to get some budget amount to use this year that we can install at some signals where the DOT can help us manage those signals better. And I think I was told it was about $30,000 per signal, and there was three of them, so that's why I got the $100,000 for. I was looking for that to come from the general fund and the CRA, and then just, you know, it's earmarked for traffic projects, and maybe it's not these particular signals, maybe there's something else, but it's...
Are you talking about the 1792 signals?
No, I'm talking about the ones that the DOT isn't doing.
So which signals? You said three. Do you know where they are?
I thought there was three on Aloma.
Yes.
Right now.
That's what mine is.
Heading towards
so
Balfour.
Thing,
and as a point to note, I dropped my brother-in-law at the airport at 8, and at 8:40 I was turning left on Aloma and I got to my office downtown at 9. It took me 20 minutes to go down Aloma this morning. It was just, I don't know if there's something going on, but it was just packed.
No, it's always
so. I know school's in, people are getting used to it.
Overturned semi on I-4. Everybody was using it.
There we go. So, see, these signals could be smarter, be tied into the ITS system, and would have cut my time in half. That's lost production.
Probably support the fiber network, too, to tie all these signals together.
Well, I think I have the exact same one, Greg, that you're talking about, and I had gotten an estimate from Butch Markrath of $150,000 to integrate those three signals with what Orange County is already doing to tie in. Remember when Stroh's came here and talked to us?
Yes.
It would cost $150,000 for us to integrate all of Aloma, since Orange County is already working.
Is that running the fiber as well?
Is Butch here?
No.
No. I did not bring my emails with all the details, but I can send them to you. Putting them on the spot there.
If you can, that's okay. Peter's kind of setting up shop over there. He's been way too comfortable.
Peter actually has all my emails to
my knowledge, that would be the connection between the traffic signals. It would most likely shoot back to the east, and it's I don't know that it's connecting to the west.
Right.
For us.
Exactly.
So it would connect the signals and it would run it to the east, where I guess Orange County is already connecting.
So it's tying into that fiber to the east.
Right, but does it include the fiber to connect the ones we're talking about to one another? I mean, is my question is the FDOT paying for the fiber if we pay for this signalization?
No. Well, there was an estimate. There was a breakout for that. The DOT isn't paying for any of this.
Okay.
But the $150,000.
The $150,000 includes the fiber to connect those three signals together. Yes.
Okay.
And so those three signals are the signal at Balfour, the signal at Lamont,
St. Andrews,
and Phelps.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not Balfour. It's the St. Andrews,
okay.
Lamont, and Phelps. Orange
Balfour's
County.
Balfour is in Orange County.
It's them. Okay.
Yeah.
I would certainly second that.
Balfour was our.
Well, second year's for 150.
That's still
Thank
Orange
you.
County. That's Orange
Okay, so we have two nods for 100 or 150. What is the
$150,000 is what came from Butch.
Where are you going to take that 150?
So you're asking for
I have lots of ideas where we can get the money.
Okay, so you have two. Do you have a third? I can support that, but I just need to know where the 150 is coming from.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, if it's outside the CRA, it would come from the general fund.
Because there are lots.
Well, that is outside the CRA.
Right.
Randy, keep that in mind. I'll support this as
Thank
long
you.
As we can turn up 150
right, sure.
from somewhere
That's
else.
That's very good.
Thank
reasonable.
You, Commissioner. So I do.
That was it for me. I just
had
two eyes. Yeah.
Commissioner Sprinkle.
Well, I still would love to have us eventually go paperless in this community and move into the 21st century. So I know it's not much money, but I'd like for us to make a policy and put a time frame in place that makes us paperless. So that's the first one. The second one's where you get 100.
That's where, exactly.
I want to make sure to
cover my desk.
Well, I don't know, but you know, I've got one of these, and so do you. So
I can support going paperless over a time frame. I'm not sure. That's more a policy than a...
As long as all be gone.
I realize that, and I know, I mean, it's...
So I can't support a cost here, but I can support some kind of policy of the city.
It needs to be a policy with a time frame that says in the next 3 years or the next 5 years, whatever it is, we need to look at, or we're not going to keep on providing paper, whatever.
So, Randy, can you work on... something just to, I don't know what the time frame is. I don't know. I don't think zero paperless is attainable. So, but is there some, we may already have something.
We may have something in our sustainability plan, quite frankly, that already looks to reducing.
Would you mind bringing something back, Randy?
Amy's gone.
We'll do. Thank you. Commissioner Sprinkle, Fleet Maintenance Vehicle.
And thank you for the list of vehicles, which I fuss about every single year, and I know that. And I was hoping that we might be able to look at this with the idea of mileage on cars as opposed to looking at replacing cars because of the time frame they've been in existence. So I will just because I still think this is a lot of money for a city of our size to spend on fleet, is I would love to see us reduce that by $200,000. 150 can go right into the traffic utilization. So
well, you have
see
both. You
what,
have vehicle ma- 200 from maintenance and 200 from replacement.
Right. So that would total 4.
I can support replacement. I'm not sure I can support maintenance. I don't know how we do that.
We apparently added one FTE to that department a year ago. Is that correct? It was 10 and now it's 11
yes.
people. And so that was part of that. And also we upped the amount of money in that fund 2 years ago. So it's the same this year as it was last year. But before that, it was quite a bit less. Plus, you've got a $1.5 million on insurance that you're having to insure. No?
No. I
thought that's what I read, $1.5 million in insurance.
No, I'm not sure where that's from, but the car insurance, I mean, it's part of an aggregate policy for the city. Vehicles are covered under our general policy.
Right.
Risk management estimates it about $150,000 a year for vehicles.
It was $1 million, and now it's $1.5 for insurance. So I know that cars are part of that. It has to be.
Right.
Maybe that's the whole insurance for the whole city. It's not just cars. I realize
that's
that.
Probably a health
but,
insurance.
But I will assure you that, well, and that was one of my other issues, was I wasn't sure what was going on with the clinic we opened and how that impacted with insurance, because I didn't know that was one more. But stick with the first one you got there, which is transportation. If you give me two, I'll take it. I've been trying to get something out of this one.
You need a third nod to reduce the vehicle replacement by $200,000.
Sarah, I would like very much to support you, but I haven't seen any data that makes me comfortable to go there yet. Maybe we can get something as we move forward in looking at the budget.
And maintenance as well? Maintenance is the same comment?
No.
Okay. Commissioner Seidel?
Yeah, Sarah, I guess, for me, I was out at the Public Works off of Howell Branch, and I'm not seeing, superstar cars everywhere. I'm seeing functional cars that are doing things. And I guess the question to me is really, is the number of vehicles what's necessary? And so I would rather see us identify which vehicles can come out of the budget and kind of why. We did, we brought the electric management in-house, which is some vehicles, as an add. And so, to me, it's more about what vehicles are necessary for who to have and who to use. Can we do shared vehicles? Shared vehicles is a big thing now, right?
Well, it's just simply counter. Yeah. That's not really what this board is supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be,
right.
We offered up and let the city staff come back with their recommendation as
right.
what they can cut. I don't want to go into each vehicle and decide which vehicles are good or not.
Well, that's what I was kind of getting. Is there $200,000 worth of cutting that can be done?
We could certainly pose it to them, and if they come back and say that's completely impossible, or I'll do what you say. It's an ask right now.
Yeah, well, I guess my question would be, is that going to reduce the level of service to the residents if we got $200,000 out of the budget?
Well, what we try to do with vehicle replacements is smooth it over years, because we have years where there's million-dollar fire trucks and multi-hundred-thousand-dollar Vacons that come up for renewal. There's years where it's just cars, just vehicles. But we try to smooth it so that we're putting enough money aside every year so when the big years come, we don't have to hit the budget for $1 million extra dollars that year. So we can cut $200,000 out in a year, and we can cut more vehicles out. We have been doing it. We've evaluated our vehicles. We've cut out as many as we think we can efficiently cut out. But if you give us an assignment to cut out $200,000, we'll make it happen.
Well, it doesn't look unless Mr.
It could Seidel, cause it could cause efficiency issues.
Well, 335 vehicles owned by the city is a lot of cars. Okay.
Okay, so do we have a third vote?
We
on
provide
this?
A lot of service.
Mr. Seidel, yes or no?
I'm happy to maybe $100,000 there to see what they can cut. Like, I don't want to cut them too much and find out.
I just this is my issue every year, and every year.
So would you settle for 100?
I'll take anything I can get.
Okay, you have three nods at 100. Randy,
right.
Out of the vehicle, please.
Yes, sir.
Out of the vehicle replacement.
Mr. Mayor,
yes.
Is it possible that we could do this during a workshop, or could we possibly defer this until after public hearings?
The entire
our discussion of the budget. I'd like to make this comment. Many of my colleagues in other cities actually have presentations by the staff to the commission during a workshop so that we talk directly to the people who need those cars. And they say to us, I need 5 cars and I need them for this reason. And I think trying to do this on the dais incorporated in public meetings is maybe too cumbersome and isn't quite fair to our residents who come here to try to get public hearings taken care of. I know it's necessary. It's necessary that we do this. I like the process of having the budget presented to the commission in a workshop environment. I would like specifically to move that we put this aside and move beyond to our public hearings, and we can come back to this later in the meeting or during a workshop. I think these are very pertinent questions. They need to be answered for us to decide how we want to vote on this budget. There's not a question that's been brought up that I consider not a reasonable question, but this is a hard environment to try to do that in, and I would like to move that we set this aside and move on with our...
Well, the chair won't accept that motion. We can't just move things off the agenda. This is on the agenda. We have had the budget presented to us, and I would just ask us all to be a little bit more judicious with our time and our comments. I think it's all fairly obvious. We've been through this before. Yeah. We know how to do this. If you can offer the comment, we know what you're asking for. We still have a few more weeks to go of the entire budget process. There's many presentations on the budget over the course of this. We still have Mr. Weldon's that have not been presented. So if we can, I completely understand
what everybody else
has asked for so far. I think we're all pretty in tune with what's going on here. We can make this happen if we actually commit to getting it done quickly. Mr. Seidel.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Commissioner Cooper, just to speak to it, to me it's like right now we're negotiating the point where we're at, and the people will know that when they come up and talk. And they can say, I think you ought to give Commissioner Cooper a $200,000 deduct, and then we can change it. And to me, that's one of the things, is to let people know where we're at before we get their comments. And so this, to me, is we're going to be giving them this little summary here. Here's where we're at on the items. And then we can change this, right, at the hearings next week, correct? At the next meeting,
absolutely.
Correct?
That's correct. And I would also offer that Mr. Knight, that is his responsibility, right, to fight for his staff, not each individual staff member fighting for their department. So why don't we continue on, Ms. Sprinkle?
Okay, I had three more, and they're real quick. The first one is I asked to look at what would this be as a budget effect on an average taxpayer, because what we're looking at in this budget year is an increase in the electric from 2 to 4%. Is that correct?
4 to 6%.
4 to 6%. Increase in water of 2%. Is that correct?
1.16.
Okay.
And that was provided. Did you see?
Yes. Okay. And so that, as well as knowing that the average taxpayer is going to have a bonding issue that's going to be on top of that. So I just want to see what's the average taxpayer going to have as a hit, because we also have $2.3 million new dollars that are added to our budget this year. And so that's why I just want to make sure that we're not hitting the taxpayer in a method that is going to be too much. That's all.
So you're asking for what the difference?
And that was provided when the spreadsheet, one of the tabs was the impact on the average taxpayer. Right.
I'm sorry, I did not see that.
It's in that Excel spreadsheet. It's like the second tab. There's three tabs.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'll go back and find it. Okay. And then because we had I guess 3 years ago we had FTEs of 500. Now we're at 529. And we're looking at, I understand, bringing some things in-house and sending some things still out of house. And I understand why that it's important to have somebody come in and do fields, but I want to make sure if they're going to be working on the fields, the 65 full-time people we have in Parks and Rec are decreased, because we're spending $60,000 to have somebody who used to keep those fields up come in and take care of them. And I know this is not my job. I know this is your job, but I look at my job as, now we're at 529 employees, okay? And they all have a benefit package, and that is continuing to grow, and we understand that. So I want to make sure that there's some oversight to that, so I would look at decreasing the FTE by 0.5% this year.
I think Commissioner Sprinkle shares a lot of the concerns that this is not anti-staff or anti-staff.
No, it's not.
It's just
no.
And I don't want it to be labeled that way. This is just where we are trying to manage a headcount, Rainey, and I know you know, we all understand that when you bring this to us, you've already gone through and beating up your departments as much as you could.
But I am a little concerned, too, about the staff size going from 5 to 529. We've seen some efficiencies through the contract process, specifically with urban forestry. I know we're looking at that possibly through Parks and Rec. But this is a concern. I don't know what the exact number is, but it's a concern of mine as well. Commissioner Cooper? Did you have a comment? I'm sorry. Commissioner Seidel?
I had a question, actually, Sarah. Originally, when we talked about this, you were talking about the overall budget for compensation for employees.
And I am very comfortable talking about that. Not doing a 3.5, but doing a 2%.
Right.
And I did do that the last time we talked about budget.
And I did go through, this is what Randy had sent us, and I went through and made some phone calls to finish filling this out. And I just, I kind of wanted you to see the data that I was working with. And I would be comfortable supporting you to the 3%, but based on this data, I couldn't go below that. So. While that wasn't an issue that I particularly brought up, if we need to talk about reducing the overall cost of personnel.
About pay increase. The proposed was 3.5. You're talking
right. About where she had recommended 2.5. What I saw here was.
I want the folks in the audience to understand, because we're talking about personnel now. We're talking about merit-based.
Right, and there is a difference in merit-based versus across the board. We all understand that. But what I'm saying is, while this is not an issue that I am bringing forward, because I'm not real uncomfortable with 3.5. I could support you on a 3% if your overall objective is to reduce the dollar value of that particular pool.
Thank you. I would definitely be content with that.
So where? All right, that's not the item we're speaking about, though, specifically.
I know.
We're talking about the size of the staff. So, Commissioner Seidel, do you have a comment on the...
Yes, I did. Randy, are we answering the phones at City Hall, or have we gone to an automated...
We have both. We have people, but if they're not there, it's answered by an automated system.
And I guess that's where I've had... And is it just because it was summer and people on vacations? But I've gotten multiple complaints from people who expect to be able to talk to somebody when they call the city.
Years ago, we had 567 employees, and during the downturn in the economy and the tax reform that was passed by the voters in the state, we eliminated approximately 67 people. Many of those were clerical positions. So, yes, you are much more likely today to get a voicemail than you would have back in 2008, because that was a lot of what we eliminated. We didn't eliminate police and fire and maintenance workers in the parks. It was primarily clerical.
Okay. Well, I guess that's where, you know, is that condition going to get worse, or is that condition going to get better, I guess is my question there. Well, and is that, it depends on how we vote here for this.
Well, if we cut positions, I will have to go find, you know, what positions I think make sense to cut. You know, in my mind, it will be service. It will be a service level that gets cut. Now, I'll try to do it in a way that least impacts the citizens.
So right now, unless you can, Commissioner, would you do me a favor and next meeting, bring back specific ones that you don't want to see?
I'm not going to do that. That's not my job, okay? I'm not going to bring you service levels to cut. I don't want anybody thinking I want to cut service levels. What I'm looking at is the overall budget and the whole package that goes into that. So I just want us to be, we've taken $2.3 million and we've spent it. That's what we've done, okay? And we've spent it with some more people. And I just want to be very aware as we move forward that we're growing again. So I see I don't have it. It's no big deal.
Now that, but the salary issue has been moved to the back of our packet, I suppose. So it's still here.
Okay.
So we can still address
I would be very content with a 3% limitation on merit pay at 3 as opposed to 3.5. If I have one nod from Carolyn,
yes,
do we get one more, anybody?
I'm happy to nod to that.
Okay. You have three nods. Mr. Knight?
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Great. Mr. Sprinkle, is that all you have?
That's it.
Okay. You have a surplus on city property.
I know. I don't know what we're going to do with that. I keep putting it up there to see what we're going to do for it.
Let's go to Ms. Cooper.
Well, we're selling the bowling alley. There's number one. That's good.
Cooper, you have the stormwater capital.
Yes, I do. Just Sarah, did you want to say something?
I'm good.
Okay. My first issue was the drainage in the Arbor Park area because, as we all know, that particular area of town is flooding on a regular basis, much more so than in the past, and I want to keep that in the forefront of all of our discussions. Applied Science did a study of that area and recommended $700,000 to address the current flooding along Arbor Park Drive and $1.8 million in future $1.8 million in future CIP to be. I needed Greg's attention because this is his baby.
Well, I was going to ask Don to speak to this as to what the status is because the status is in fluctuation on this one.
Okay, so no,
I just want to make sure we have the budget in this year and in the out years.
Either one. Peter's camped out. So. Regarding the issue, I think we've stated this multiple times. There are some wastewater issues as people are taking more advantage of the FAR that is granted to them under the code.
Stormwater, not wastewater.
What did I say?
You said wastewater.
I apologize.
Stormwater.
We have some challenges with our infrastructure on the side. So can you kind of square us?
Yeah, the estimates from Applied Sciences are a little bit general. We are engaged in some maintenance activities right now that we hope to share expenses with Semel County on that. This ditch is their responsibility as well as the one on the county side. So we're getting those scopes together. We're getting scopes for, we want to do this project in phases, and the most important phase is making another connection from the ditch to the main canal, which is on the county, the Semel County side. So not necessarily everything in the 1.8 million that they propose needs to be done, but if we do it in phases and we see real improvements, then we'll take it one step at a time. Now,
can you bring back a plan at the next budget workshop so we can figure out, and in the meantime, too, I can get in touch with my counterparts in Seminole County and see where they stand on this?
Sure.
Thank you.
Because the emails go back about 3 years on this, so it's time to get it done. Absolutely. I just want to keep it in the forefront. My next issue, which we discussed a little bit today, was the Parks Master Plan. I do believe that given the accreditation, given our commitment to our level of service and the comp plan, that we need to move forward with the entire master plan, including the green space connectivity. And I know that's on hold till we talk about this later. My next issue was the mixed-use design standards. As we went through the comprehensive plan and discussed our design corridors, we selected Orange Avenue as the most as the first priority, and I know that the private sector is hard at work designing improvements for Orange Avenue, and I would just like us to get out in front of that and get our design standards in. I had recommended $40,000. I don't know that that's the right number. That number was based on what Placemakers had proposed for the West Fairbanks design guidelines. So you'll have to help me from the staff with what that right number is, but I just want us to lead the development and not be reactive.
So let me ask Dory, part of that Orange Avenue study, the corridor study and the corridor project?
Age has its benefits.
People I think you're still pretty. Are we talking? When we talk about design, it's not just physical design of the structures, because I think that's a different discussion. But we're actually talking about shared parking and shared water and shared some of that stuff.
Oh, and Steve, that's what I mean by that. That's what Placemakers was doing for us.
Placemakers also looked at form-based code, which is a direction we're not looking at right now on Orange Avenue. We have drafted some design guidelines in-house for Orange. I think the big piece of Orange is going to be the ability of whether the possibility of our mixed use land use category is flexible enough to go on Orange Avenue or not. And that the mixed use piece of this has not been fully vetted. We've been looking at what other communities are doing, and we're comparing those now, and there'll be some policy discussion that has to happen with that. We can create guidelines just as we've created guidelines for other streets in Winter Park, and that was the direction we were going. But to ratchet it up a notch to include our mixed use land use category as a potential development scenario in Orange, we could get some help on that as well.
Is what you're planning now within your existing budget for this year?
Yes, I built my planning budget with consulting services that if I needed to go out and bring in expertise on something very specific, that I had some money in my planning budget. I hate to say no to money for planning consulting services, but
no,
I do
hear you.
Have,
what you're saying is it is in the budget.
I do have money already in our proposed planning budget. To if I have to go out and get some help, we can do that.
And what are we looking at as far as your time frame for when those design standards will be available?
The city manager report has on there an Orange Avenue item, and we want to bring back in October some conceptual thoughts.
Okay.
We want to have a discussion with you about Progress Point. We want to have a discussion with you about zoning.
All right.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My next question was if we should use some of this year's contingency to do a wage benchmark study, just because I knew that we were struggling with headcount and the amount of dollars that we were putting into the personnel. But I think what you have given us here, and you can check, these were phone calls I made to the human resources just because I can't stand a chart with blank spaces in it, and I wanted to see the whole picture. So I'm comfortable not doing that unless someone else thinks that that's necessary.
Okay. Nope, let's move forward.
The next item is the inclusion of street trees and irrigation and furniture in the 1792 PD&E packet, and this actually is a CIP item, and I believe it should be all from the CRA in the out years, and I don't know what year we're anticipating that to happen, but I didn't put the budget source in here. Someone else did, but it says CRA unallocated funding and city contingency. I had no intention of using city contingency for this unless it's something that's outside the CRA. Is that the problem with that?
It would be, yes. There's
got it.
Okay. A couple small areas.
Perfect. So that's what that is about, and I did not do these estimates myself. I had them estimated by staff. So at some point in our CIP, we need to add the trees and because improvements, the PD&E right now includes the street and the sidewalks, but it doesn't have, I did not see any.
At the CRA workshop we had 2 weeks ago, you did direct staff to bring this back, and we will bring this back to you.
Good.
At your CRA workshop, it's in September.
Well, I just want to make sure that we get it in the budget. That's all I care about.
We are putting this into, we'll have this in the CRA budget for
in
your consideration.
In the CIP, right. Yes, ma'am. But the CRA CIP is part of this budget, is it not? Thank
yes,
you. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So I just want to make sure I wasn't off skelter there. The next one is the one we just voted on. I appreciate everyone's support on that. That was for the adaptive signalization on Aloma. The fiber optics to the water plant, I will defer to Mr. Weldon when he comes back. I think that was one of the items that he and I agreed on. We can wait and like to have that conversation with him.
Sure.
One of the CRA items, I want to make sure that we have the parking enforcement officer included in that. Heard it from the Park Avenue merchants, heard it from the people that were at all of the meetings, and certainly the consultants. Kimley Horn has recommended that that should be one of our first strategies to consider.
Commissioner, Kimley Horn has yet to make recommendations. It was a discussion point. I just didn't want there to be any inference that Kimley Horn has come forward with recommendations.
No, that's fine. It was one of the strategies.
Was part of their strategy,
right.
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
And parking garages.
So do we want to hold off on that?
Well, I think we should hold off.
Okay. No problem. All right. The Martin Luther King improvements. I hate to see that not have any dollars in it in our CIP for the out years. That's just a point to management that certainly we know that that's going to happen and we should have something in our budget. Acquisition of the post office, again, that's a long-term need in our CIP, and I noted that it's listed, but the dollars weren't there, so I was hoping we could get that back in. Some of these others that I have here are recommendations for potentials of increasing revenue only if we see that we need them in order to do some of the things that we want to do. And so I'll just quickly go over these. These are not necessarily needing to be voted on one at a time. They're just here for your consideration if there's something you want to do that you need to generate income to do. One of those would be to reconsider the fee for removal of healthy trees. The second one would be to establish a commercial parks usage fee. The next would be to establish a transportation impact fee for commercial development. The next would be to look at the potential for negotiating a change to the drop rate of return in our pension. The next would be looking at the possibility of comparing our employee contribution to our pension with other cities. And then I also, I think that might be it. Everything else has been covered by someone else, except I think we did the removal of the body cameras. I think, and we got a good consensus on that. And those were all of mine right there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, we will address Commissioner Weldon's when he's back, and we will have another. We'll have ongoing discussions on the budget.
I do have one other thing I'd like to pass out. I had to update this from some numbers that Randy had, and there may be more, but what this represents is our, this is a complete comparison of all the police starting salaries for officers, sergeants, lieutenants, and deputy chiefs. And I sorted it by each category so that you could see that the chief's request for increasing the new officer salary is certainly reasonable based on the data. And I also gave it to you sorted by all of the other jobs because I think as you move up, I know we need to look at compression, but I don't see the same significant need as I do for the beginning salary. And certainly if...
I think there was support, too, at the last meeting. I'm glad you did all this work, but there was support to support the chief's position on
yes,
new hires and wage.
Right. Did we get three nods to support the overall budget for police or just for the new hires?
Well, it's part of the budget I presented to you, so you haven't approved the overall budget yet.
Right. But did we get three nods from the discussion that...
Well, there was a commissioner... recommending reduction of
right,
police.
Right, I saw that.
And
that's the reason
I did this. There were not three
nods
to reduce it
right.
at that point.
Well, that's the reason I did this, is because I just want you to know that I have now looked at the data.
Sorry,
I am comfortable.
I clarify what the city manager said. When you say there was not a consensus to reduce the wage?
The police
wage
budget. The police budget.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Okay, let's
Mr. Mayor, yes, sir, just next steps on the budget is we're having our, if we can kind of go over that so we're all clear on what's happening next.
Yes, so at the next meeting, we will take the items you had consensus on tonight. We will modify the budget to reflect that. That will be advertised to the public, and we will have a budget ordinance before you at the next meeting in September for two readings, one first meeting, one in the second meeting in September.
So the first time we'll see the results of this meeting is the Wednesday prior to the commission meeting, right?
Unless we get it done sooner. I'm not sure what his advertisement date is. He's got to get it done in time to advertise it in time, so whatever that date is when they'll have to have it done by, we can send it out at that time.
My biggest concern is not seeing the CRA budget until right before we have to vote. That, I'm not comfortable with that at all. I think now that we've rescheduled that meeting, haven't we pushed it off to like,
second meeting in September.
Right, the last meeting of September, and then we have to come in and vote on a budget. That seems unnecessarily...
Well, we've had two meetings on it.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking more to get the prioritization, too, from, like, the Transportation Advisory Board on their capital projects and the stormwater capital projects, that we kind of know what projects are out there and we agree with the prioritization of them. And that's not necessarily a budget item per se, as it is
a management.
Right, so that we're aware of the projects and what's going on and we agree with the prioritization.
Well, the CIP that's in the budget document you have is the prioritization coming up from staff,
which having in concert with the budget. Right.
So the capital projects are in the budget that you got back in July, and is what you'll be voting on at this meeting. And that includes the five-year capital plan.
Okay, and I guess I feel like some of that's a little dynamic in just that the projects are changing. Some of them. So, okay, I'll go back and look at that.
Yeah, certainly with what you did today and at the previous meeting.
Right. And, well, I thought also the DOT with the 1792 PD&E and bringing some of those things in, that we're going to get that updated at the CRA meeting, and it's kind of where those projects play out at a point in time. And then we also, the public meeting we were at the other day where Don was speaking to the FDOT and kind of, or, you know, those are items to me that we may want to consider for this year.
Yes, sir. It's a great point, and just like you did with the CRA last year, they were part of the capital project budget you didn't adopt till later in the year.
Okay.
And so you can certainly do that again this time. If you're not comfortable with the capital component of the overall budget, we can wait until you are comfortable with that capital component.
Okay.
So there is time.
There can be. If
well, there is time, but this is the time when the budget is supposed to be approved in September.
Right.
So for me, I'd like to be able to see the capital projects in September. That's part of the issues with CRA, isn't it?
Okay. Let's open up the floor to public comment. Anybody wish to address the commission on any items that are not on this agenda? Please, now's your time. Sir.
Charlie Williams, Winter Park resident, Antoinette. I've been talking to a lot of you all, or with Bob Bendick, kind of emailing in person about the Parks Plan, Master Plan, and good to hear the discussion today. Bob and I both support going forward with the Master Plan, and we're probably one of the few people that have dug into it and tabbed it and reviewed it, and there's a lot of great news here. I mean, if I were at a coffee talk, I'd be taking this with me, because at the end, the survey is actually there. And back in 2008, we surveyed 3,000-plus households by mail. You wouldn't necessarily have to do it by mail now, but the responses were great. They were raving about our parks. Everybody loves parks, green space. I also, on behalf of Bob and myself, want to congratulate you on the Howe Branch property acquisition. That's a coup. That's a win for everybody and next generations to come. So the blue way that is going to come out of that and the connectivity up and down the waterway is wonderful. And as was mentioned earlier, I realized that parks is 15% of your budget, and that as we grow and parks become more popular and more used, it also eats up maintenance budget. So easily it's getting close to 90% maintenance. And we have to, or you have to, decide how we spend those dollars, active versus passive. It's a constant tug of war. I'd like to make a plug for updating the plan every 5 years, and I'll tell you why. In the plan right now, it doesn't mention MLK Park. It mentions Lake Island Park. So things change faster than we know. Also, if we'd had the five-year update, our exercises on MLK Park and what goes in, passive versus active, might have been a little different, because we would know where we're putting our active and our passive with new parks coming online. The main thing I would hope the plan update would focus on would be the entire life cycle budget of a park. As it gets older, replacement costs, that's where the budget begins to eat at us. So that facility cost ownership would be a great thing to eyeball. And again, I will just share with you a visual. I'll pass one to Randy and then down, of what I envision part of MLK could look like after this exercise. So we've got a library going there. These are pictures of shade with benches and, in a lot of cases, people reading. So in my opinion, this would be a great use for MLK Park. It might be we want to move those fields to another location, because the quiet and the shade and the activity to read is huge. So we've got a trifecta right now with potentially the Howe Branch property. Mead Gardens and MLK. You've got a great quiet zone to balance the active park zones that are coming online, which is a win-win. I like the connectivity idea that was addressed. Last thing is this study had a 20-year horizon from 2007 to 2028, and that's valuable to have a 20-year horizon to envision cost and usage. So as we update it, a 20-year would take us to 2037. Sounds like a long time, but it gets here sooner than we think. It's a valuable tool for all of us to communicate. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Welcome home.
Thanks. Jeffrey Blydenberg, 204 Genius Drive. I'd also like to speak on the Parks Master Plan with a bit of an expansion to it. Several of the commissioners have seen some work that Dykes Everett and I have been looking at in terms of an open space master plan to take Parks and Recreation has a specific connotation to it, which is important, but the connectivity and all the other pieces that go into it are slightly different than Parks and Recreation. For example, the green space out here in front of City Hall, is that Parks or Recreation? It's a little bit more than that. It also has to do with our overall how we present ourselves to the community. When Dykes and I put our initial plan together and brought it to Dory and said this is something, and also met with Randy as an idea to move forward, it's something that we have not had in the city, which is an open space master plan. And specifically, it was looking at Progress Point because we were working on that to make the point that you should never, ever, ever sell open space when you have it. Because once you lose it, once you sell it, you lose it, you don't have it anymore. And the most important thing that the city does, in addition to the quality of life that you help to establish for the city, is open space. Take the golf course as a good example. Take Mead Botanical Garden as another. And so Progress Point presents a really interesting opportunity for open space to build around, whereas if it's commercial development, it has a different kind of benefit. So the question the comment I would bring up for the Parks Master Plan, one is to call it an open space master plan instead of Parks and Rec and have Parks and Rec inside of that so that you can put future acquisition into that, that there's the opportunity for future acquisition, and also just how all the connectivity, which is one of the biggest issues, like, you know, what happens along 1792, how Morse Boulevard is treated, how the rest of Denning is treated, and all the different aspects of open space in the city. So I would hope that as you move forward with the scope of work that you could look at that, because I think it would be a real added benefit to just Parks and Recreation. And happy to share the plan with you. Didn't bring it today, but it's a big drawing and it takes a while to kind of go through the whole thing, but would be happy to do that at an appropriate time as the staff is putting together their RFP and their scope of work. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity to address this council. I represent Never Stand Alone, which is a 501c3 nonprofit that brings awareness to college sexual violence. We are the first organization.
Would you just say your name for the record?
Alisa Silver. I live in Lindale Boulevard.
Thank you.
We are the first organization to bring a free cultural event to Park Avenue other than the city or the chamber. We kindly request your approval for a unique, diverse event on two blocks of Park Avenue for a free Oktoberfest celebration, October 29th. This is a Sunday from New England to Morse, Luma to Bosphorus. A little history of Oktoberfest. It's the celebration of the royal wedding of the King Ludwig and Princess Therese over 100 years ago, which coincidentally coincides with when Winter Park was incorporated, and traditionally opened by the mayor and the council. I have worked hard to respect the merchants of Park Avenue. Therefore, a Sunday evening was chosen from 6 to 10 p.m. Sundays are traditionally slow for business, and the celebration would bring additional visitors to the avenue that would not normally be there. This would be an economic boost, and several businesses also expressed a desire to to extend their hours beyond the normal closing for that particular day. The Free Oktoberfest celebration has met all the preliminary requirements. I received 100% of the business's signatures from Bosphorus to Luma. The restaurants are creating special menus for this unique event: Bosphorus, Luma, the Parkview, Panulo's, the Wine Room. I have met with police and fire. I have reserved 5 police officers, sent a site plan, have a restroom trailer, even though one is not necessary or required. I have received a Grammy-nominated Oktoberfest band, promotion from the German consulate, distinguished sponsors, and $1 million of liability insurance. Everyone is saying that this event is so wonderful and diverse, and it would enhance the great name that Winter Park has as a city of culture. It would bring a feeling of togetherness and belonging and camaraderie. I have spent months, effort, and expense to bring this event to Park Avenue. It would be devastating to our organization if it would not become a reality. The event is vital to our success. And I have just forwarded you an email from the Dean of Religious Life at Rollins College, who's very familiar of what we do and our work. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So, Randy, let me ask you about this. I know this has been discussed amongst staff. I know that you and I have had conversations about this. Can you kind of give a just tell us where we stand with this? I obviously, it sounds like a worthwhile charity or nonprofit to support the efforts, but I know there are limitations as to what we can do. So, and I hate to do this, but we still have one gentleman to speak.
I'm a business owner on Park Avenue.
Okay.
And my name is Matthew Coulter.
So why don't we let him speak, and then if you wouldn't, then I'll close the floor to public comment unless there's somebody else after you, then we'll discuss that issue. Thank you, Matthew.
Yeah, I own the Parkview restaurant on Park Avenue, and it's in the part that she'll be closing. And I just wanted to show our support for it. I think it's a great cause. You know, campus violence is something that is close to us since we have a college literally a few blocks away. As far as the event goes, I think it will bring good business to us. And I think that she picked the right time to do that. Sunday evening is a time that it's not busy down there. We get a few people down for dinner, and that's about it. I've talked with some sponsors about it, Oktoberfest, brewers, and things like that. So they seem to be interested in it as well. And I just hope that you give it a good consideration, because I think it's a great event, and it fits in with what we do. You know, I usually throw an Oktoberfest party that I've actually decided to try to collaborate with her instead, because My customers love it. It's one of our most fun events, and we get the one-man band in, and it's just a good time. Families like it. You know, you bring the kids out. It's not wild. Oompa music isn't exactly, you know, crazy music, but I just wanted to be here and let you know that the businesses, we do support this, and we think it'd be great.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone else who'd like to address the commission? Okay, we'll close the floor to public comment. Randy. Can you fill us in?
Sure. This started several months ago with a request to use Central Park, and the Parks Board considered the request and denied it for the location in Central Park they wanted, but approved it in the West Meadow. They did not wish to go forward with it at the West Meadow. That wasn't West Meadow. That was not the location they wanted. And then they talked to me about doing it on Park Avenue and closing down, you know, a portion of Park Avenue. And I said to him, I think that's a heavy push-up, because we get a lot of requests from a lot of very worthy nonprofits to, you know, to have events and close off the avenue, and we typically do not approve those. But I said, if you get support from the Chamber and the Park Avenue Merchants Association, and, you know, but then the commission would need to approve it. It's my understanding they did get signatures from those businesses in that section. I haven't seen those, but I'm told they have signatures from the businesses within that two-block or whatever it is section, but not approval from the Park Avenue Merchants Association or the Chamber. In my conversation with the Chamber, that, you know, that they did not approve it, or they indicated the Park Avenue Merchants Association did not approve it. So I said no, and so that's why they've come to you today, you know, asking to override me, which, you know, certainly they're right to do. I'm not opposed to the event. It's, you know, we haven't seen the insurance. We haven't seen some of these things. They would need to, you know, prove all of that if the commission says, yes, let's try this. It's just that we get a tremendous amount of very worthy organizations like this one that want to use the assets that the city has of Park Avenue. And you know, every time we eat, whether it's dinner on the avenue or the sip and stroll or any of those things, we have merchants that don't like the avenue to be closed for any purpose.
Right.
And so that's why I denied it. But certainly it's a policy decision the commission can override.
But it's not on our agenda tonight.
It was not. But timing-wise, if it gets delayed too much, it's
right. But it's not on our agenda. We have no data. We haven't seen. We've seen absolutely nothing on it. And the city offered the West Meadow, right?
Yes.
Okay. Questions for the city manager? I have a question regarding Hannibal Square. Seems to get closed down much more frequently. Occasionally, I'll drive through there, and the road shut for, I don't know.
High school reunions.
I just kind of go by it too fast to see what there are. But is that an option? And does that go through the same process? Do we have more flexibility there?
It's the same process. We have a special event process where they submit an application.
And are we more flexible in that?
We are more flexible over there than we are on Park Avenue. But it's still that process of going through the, you know, going through all the departments, looking at it, you know, yeah. Addressing the safety. You know, one of the things when it was going to be in the park, and I honestly don't know, I'm assuming there's alcohol proposed as part of this, but when we have alcohol in a park, we like there to be controlled access, you know, so that people can't just walk in, walk out, you know, just like at the, you know, we either have a beer garden or, you know, some place that people can check IDs coming in and out.
And
when it was going to be in Central Park, they did not want that. And so that was one of the reasons the Parks Board had a hard time with it being, you know, at a stage area.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what kind of direction to give. I think that the ladies feel like they've kind of hit a bit of a stone wall. I think it's a message. It's a nonprofit that seems to be extremely worthwhile. I love a good Oktoberfest, and I think most people do. I think we have signatures. Is that what you're sharing, the signatures from the merchants? Closing down Park Avenue is a heavy lift, especially for a first-time event. It's almost like you want to try an event somewhere else and see if you can gain some traction and gain some success before it gets put on kind of our premier asset. I'd like to see it assisted. Again, I'm one of five. I'd like to see it move forward, but I don't know. I can't support it on Park Avenue right now, but I'd like to see it, you know, maybe get off the ground a bit in a test area, and then if it progresses and we see the success of it, I can see that it become maybe an annual event on Park Avenue, but right now I have trouble with it on Park Avenue. That's one. Comments?
I'd like to see it happen also, but I also understand there's a lot of rules and regulations that you have to oversee, and I don't want to get into that. I would love to see it happen. Is there any way somebody on staff could work with the ladies to see what they could do to come up with an alternative so that it's win-win for everybody?
Well, I think just to that point, too, and I meant to throw this in, and I apologize.
No.
But the closing down Park Avenue is not just, yeah, it's not just the traffic to those merchants. It's the traffic, and it's the police, and it's the, you know, it's a big deal. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, and I'm not sure if the meadow is that bad of a solution. To me, that's a really good solution. It's hot, huh? Okay. Well, just, is there somebody that can work with them to see if there's any way you think it's a shade issue?
Well, I said there's no shade over there. That's all. There's no shade.
And what time of night? Six.
I guess it'd be six to the night.
I'm sorry, please. The food is a major issue of this event. The food and beverages. I can't do it in the meadow. The whole point was to incorporate the Park Avenue businesses. Luma is making a unique menu with their chef de cuisine. So that was the whole.
Okay.
Oh, so I didn't understand that they were going to use the people that were
yes,
going
I
to
mean,
the restaurants.
Exclusive.
There are 100 people lined up behind her. I mean, Park Avenue is Park Avenue. Yeah. Everyone would like to throw a party on Park Avenue. We must be very cautious.
At my expense, I'm doing it at my expense, a free cultural event. I don't think people are running to do it at their expense.
Okay.
I don't recall any event that's running.
You don't take
my
college.
Yeah, I know. Mr. Seidel, do you have any comments on this?
Yeah, I guess kind of my comment is just that I had no idea this was coming, first of all.
And
sure. I know you guys had...
No, we didn't know it was coming, but I had
some time to put into it. And part of that with the applicant, I think, you know, it would, you know, just as a... giving the commissioners a head up that you're going to do something, there's a lot of folks in the city that do that when they go to P&Z and they don't get approval. They call us when they still want to come up here. And so
well,
for me...
She just got the denial last week, so I don't want to...
Yeah, well, I just...
So let me offer this?
Well, I don't have any information.
To speak to
Commissioner Cooper's point, I was trying to think in my head, Mr. Mayor, of what other fundraisers we have where we shut down, or not, I'll say events where we shut down Park Avenue for a specific person to do something.
Well, the one example, and it did come to the commission for approval, was the car show back when it used to be on Park Avenue. The others are done by either us or the Chamber of Commerce, but really the car show is the one primary one that was done by an outside organization. But it was, like you said, Mr. Mayor, it was done in the park for many years before it, no, actually it went the other way around. It was in the street before it went to the park.
Back to the golf course.
Right, but it did go to the commission, and they had to approve that as a new special event to shut down Park Avenue.
Yeah, I was asked that question during my campaign a long time ago by the then director of the chamber when he was asking, do we have too many events on Park Avenue? And he asked if I would approve more events on that, and it's kind of, you know, they are special when we do have them, and so that's, for me, it's I kind of see that all the parties need to be on board, meaning everybody, when we go to do something. And
so
that's
I'm hearing
just a general
support
right
to move this forward on Park Avenue.
That's correct.
With this information right now, without getting into more.
So what I could offer is, Randy, but I think there's support for an event to benefit this 501c3. I mean, I can support that. I'm just trying to figure out. I like Commissioner Sprinkle's idea of, can they get together with staff and figure out another way to do this? And I understand some of the merchants are assisting and cooking food and all that, but this is a lot to throw at the commission at this stage. And if I understand. This is the right thing to do for you. But I'm saying, if this plan had been coming to us in February for this coming October, we probably could have figured out ways. But I still think Park Avenue is probably too big a reach right now.
Because I did approach PAMA on three separate occasions, and they wouldn't even give me the courtesy to meet with them.
Okay.
So I had no choice.
I think you've taken the right action to come talk to speak with us. Randy, is there another possible meeting with you to offer alternatives to this?
I'm always happy to meet.
Okay. Would you please try to get back with Mr. Knight and see if there's an alternative? But I don't think Park Avenue is a...
I have no. It was Central Park or that because of the proximity to the restaurant.
I understand.
The charity will fall. We're done with it. Yeah. We can't. I mean, this is the
okay. Mr. Seidel?
I have worked so hard and long and expensive into this to be derailed by people who don't know the full details.
I know. So, and sometimes it's not. And I don't want to continue this discussion between the dais and the audience. I apologize. But I do.
It's not in your best interest.
I understand. I'm going to have to ask you. Please try to regroup with Mr. Knight, see if there's a solution that you can come up with. I think, again, there's... consideration at this on the dais to try to assist, but if the only options are Park Avenue and Central Park, it's a heavy lift. Okay, let's move on, folks. Do you all want to take a break, or are you good to keep going?
We're done. We're gonna have that meeting to go, do we?
Let's do it. Let's
all
just
right.
move
let's
on.
Let's go to 11A, Mr. Hardman.
Set people free.
11A, ordinance number blank, an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 40. Article Roman numeral 4 of the City Code regarding communications facilities in the public rights of way, implementing the Advanced Wireless Infrastructure Deployment Act, making factual and legislative findings, adopting and amending city regulations, related to, without limitation, placement, maintenance, and replacement of wireless and other communications facilities in the city's rights-of-way, co-location of small wireless facilities on existing utility poles, placement of new utility poles, insurance and surety bond requirements, permitting procedures and requirements, appeals, safety requirements, waivers, review deadlines, definitions, registration of communication service providers, and fees, providing objective design standards, providing and incorporating exhibits, providing for city commission authority, codification, severability, conflicts, and an effective date.
Thank you. This is on second reading.
Yes, sir.
I'll move it.
I'll second that. For any discussion on the commission? Okay, we'll open the floor to public comment. We wish to address the commission on item 11A. Now is your chime in. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Sydal?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes, there's a 4-0 vote. Please let the record show Mr. Weldon was unavailable. We are at item 11B. Mr. Ardeman.
Yes, sir. Resolution number blank, a resolution of the City Commission of the City of Winter Park, Florida, designating 1167 Lakeview Drive, Winter Park, Florida, as a historic resource on the Winter Park Register of Historic Places.
Great. Brooks?
Simple.
You haven't been paying attention.
This was done last year in November, I believe. And there was a discussion about whether or not the McGargies were going to purchase the property from Mr. Bloom at that time. So she requested that we table the resolution until they got that resolved. It just kind of sat there. Now that the McGargies are not going to go through with this, but Brad Bloom is going to go through with the same historic designation, which was granted, as well as the modifications for the certificate of review that was approved. And so we just need to finalize that resolution that was never read before committee.
Okay.
So you answered all my questions.
Yep, that's really
move to approve.
I'll second.
Further discussion on the commission? No? Is the applicant here would like to say anything? No?
I believe they are.
I'm sorry?
I believe they're here.
Okay. Then we'll open up the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on item 11B? Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Cindy, please read the roll.
Commissioner Sydal?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. 4-0 vote with Mr. Weldon away. Item 11C, Mr. Briggs. Yes, Mr. Briggs.
Yeah, this item is a conditional use request that's going to bring 10,000 square feet of new Class A office building to the 345 Carolina property, which, as you see in the aerial before you, is the old SunTrust teller location there on Carolina. And if you recall, in the olden days, in the 1980s, the building on the corner of New York and Carolina, 201 North New York, was called the SunTrust Building a long time ago in the 80s, because SunTrust started in that building. Those are the tellers to the back. Of course, when Rollins partnered with SunTrust to build the building across the street, SunTrust moved across the street, but kept the remote tellers at that location for the intervening years until they just opened the new tellers down there at New England and New York. And so now that they've moved, this property has become available to the property owner to redevelop, and you have that redevelopment before us tonight, the three-story building, just about 10,000 square feet. As you read in the staff report, it does comply with the floor area ratio. And in terms of parking, the parking is a mix of the existing 201 North New York building that was built in the 1980s when our code was 1 per 350. And so the 74 spaces that are needed for that building are set aside for that building. This new 10,000 square foot building is based on the new code, 1 per 250, so it's 40 spaces are included in this total. They have four extra spaces, so they're not asking for any variances with respect to parking, floor area ratio, or setbacks. The only small variances that they are asking for have to do with height, and that is that, again, Class A office, you need proper floor-to-ceiling heights. The code is 40 feet. It is 41 feet to the start of the roof structure. then normally you have a little rim around a flat roof building, a 5-foot parapet, and then you can go 10 feet for the elevator stair tower. They want to do more of a Mediterranean pitched roof, as you see in the elevation. Still would have the flat section in the middle where you put the air conditioning mechanical equipment to hide it. And so that roof, because of the slope, goes up to 52 feet in height. So that is a slight variance. However, across the street is Park West condos at 55 feet in height. The 201 building is the same, 53 feet in height. And behind it on Garfield, the 300 Garfield building, which is four stories, is the exact same 53 feet in height. So on three sides, you have comparable height building. On the other side of Carolina, the building owned by Jim Pugh. He was at the P&Z meeting and voiced his support for this request. So this comes to you with a positive recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Board. Just one condition having to do with this just falling outside of the Morris Boulevard design guidelines in terms of the and the downtown design guidelines in terms of signage. So the condition would make the type of signage on this building the same as we have for the rest of the downtown and Morris Boulevard. And so with that, see if there's any questions.
Question?
I do have a question for you. I noticed as I looked through the minutes, I don't see any public input. Did we request public input on this?
Yes, there was some public, okay. Other than the applicant.
It just wasn't highlighted in here. And the only thing I saw in the minutes that was not incorporated in the approval were the street trees. How many were we talking about? One or two? Where the driveway used to be.
Yeah, well, we didn't incorporate it because that's going to be building permit comments, but they are will be required as part of the building permit to plant street trees, where we're going to be getting rid of all of that apron for the drive-through tellers.
Okay.
Given the spacing, I think it would be about two. Okay.
Is this the building that I received two emails about today?
No,
about,
I thought it was.
It's
no.
Not. That's upcoming, and that's it's in the same neighborhood, but it's not this building.
Right, that's next month at Morrison, Pennsylvania.
That's what I thought, because I know they hadn't been to P&Z yet, but right. Then it made me
I thought the same thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, good. That makes me feel a lot better. Well, I would actually move to approve this and incorporate the comment.
Mr. Seidel, comments first, if you don't mind.
I just want to understand the sign, Jeff. What was the sign comment? They're going to meet the sign criteria?
So in the downtown, Morris Boulevard, New England, we don't allow interior illuminated signs, light bulbs in a box.
Right.
We also have the same kind of restriction in terms of wall signage. So if you look at the boundaries of our Morris guidelines and our downtown, this falls in a little hole outside, even though it is in the downtown. So we wanted to have the similar rules apply.
So they're not going to have the interior illuminated sign. They're going to have the light.
Yeah, they
okay, great. Yeah, no, I'm good.
And did you call this Class A office building?
In your second one?
Yes.
I thought it was.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
Never mind.
Was the motion second?
No, there was no motion. The motion has been denied for a moment until we have the further discussion. Thank you.
Sorry.
Mr. Sandel, are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
Mr. Sprinkle.
So this is what you call Class A office space, and it meets the present parking requirements that we have for Class A office space.
That's right, 1 to 250.
The only question I have is, my concern is the height of the roof. That's a 12 feet, is that what we're talking, above code, Jeff? To the top of the structure?
Seven, right,
you're
52.
You're going from 40 to 52?
Yes.
45 to 52.
No, you said 40.
Well, I think it's 40. Plus
41 to the top of the third floor.
Right.
And then it's 53 feet to the peak of the roof.
Okay, so you're talking about 12 feet. I'm okay with it in this sense, just given the surrounding buildings, and I think it fits architecturally. But I still think that's a fairly, I'm surprised more.
Yeah, I wouldn't be comfortable with 12 foot, but the way I read this was 40 feet is what's required in the CBD. And then you allow an additional 5 foot for a mansard parapet.
Yeah. Right.
So we're talking 45 feet versus 52 feet. Is that what we're talking about?
So if this plan were a three-story building with a complete flat roof, mm-hmm. and you still gave them one extra foot for the floor to ceiling heights, you'd have a flat roof and you'd have a 5 foot rim around it.
Yeah.
They don't want to do a rim around it. They want to do a Mediterranean barrel tile roof because of that pitch. it's going up to the height of what the elevator stair tower will be.
Okay. So it's going up to 52 feet.
Yeah.
Okay. Commissioner Cooper, I'll entertain that motion.
All right. I'll make that motion.
Great.
I move to approve with the comments incorporated from planning and zoning.
In a single condition, I think they have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Great. We will certainly let the applicant address if you'd like to. If not, it looks like you have a favorable motion moving forward. So if you'd like, the microphone is yours. Hey, it's my pleasure. Well, you can certainly address any comments that come up if anybody has any. Okay, we'll open the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on this item, which is 11C? Now is your time. Okay, seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. You all ready to vote?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Cindy, please read the roll.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Good. Looking forward to it, guys. Good luck. We have Mr. Ardman, 11D, please.
Yes, sir. Ordinance number blank, an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article Roman Numeral 1, Comprehensive Plan, Future Land Use Map, so as to change the future land use designation of institutional to open space and recreation on the property located between 652 and 700 West Morse Boulevard, more particularly described herein, providing for severability conflicts and an effective date.
Great. Jeff, this is just cleaning up a little bit.
It is cleaning up. Remember, that sale was conditioned on this being Parks and Rec zoning and not being able to use FAR and anything, so we had to zone it Parks and Rec, okay, consistent with that movement.
Any questions for staff?
No. I'd like to move it.
Does Parks and Rec...
Sorry, Commissioner, we do have a motion on the table.
That's question.
Second. Okay, I'll second that. Yes, please, Commissioner.
If it's Parks and Rec, can they then not fence it off? They can't wall it off or fence it off, can they?
Their intention is to, you know, they're going to own it privately. Their intention is to fence it off and have a keypad so the residents can come through our city park, go through the keypad, and come to the front doors of their residences. So they are. It is going to be private property, but it has to be open space. Can't use it toward their FAR. Can't put structures there.
And the front structure still remains on Morse.
Yes. There's the site plan where you have three units on the right-hand side that are facing Morse, and then the units to the left are the ones that face the private park.
Did we do a developer's agreement on the maintenance?
They're going to own it. They have to maintain it.
So, no, we don't have a developer's agreement.
Yeah. They're going to own it.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to start
it. We started on that path.
But that was understood since it was discussed on the record. They said that they were always making sure.
Yeah, Jeff, just to refresh my memory, that they're going to have it, or what you just said, it'll be gated so that they have access to it, but not the public?
Yes.
Correct.
That's right, because in the old days, you could walk through and get to the community center. That was the purpose of this. But when we rebuilt the new community center and put the pool back there, then we closed off the access. That's why it didn't get used. We deemed it surplus and did the sale.
And then they have the opportunity to have individual fenced-off yards, correct?
Is that not correct? That's
no.
Not correct.
Okay, so just here.
It's going to be a common area track accessible to all of the owners.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to refresh my memory.
Great. We have a motion and a second. We'll open the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on item 11D? Now is your time. Okay, seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Cindy, please read the roll.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. 4-0. Commissioner Weldon is absent. Mr. Ardman.
I got one more.
E.
Yes, sir. Ordinance number blank, an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article Roman Numeral 2, Zoning and the Official Zoning Map, to change from medium-density multiple-family residential R-3 district zoning to office O-2 district zoning on the properties at 407 St. Andrews Boulevard and 2291, 2295, 2301, and 2305, Glenwood Drive, more particularly described herein, providing for conflict, severability, and an effective date.
Mr. Arming, may I just put this on hold for a second? Did we have two ordinances for that last reading? We did, correct?
Yes.
We had two. Didn't we read? I only think we read the first. We have the comprehensive the land use that we got to amend.
Yes, we do. We need a separate reading and a separate vote on that.
Okay, so...
So before we take up the item I just read, should I go ahead and proceed?
Yes, would you please
read?
Thank you, Mayor. It's on page 117 is the one I'm referring to. Thank you.
Yes, ordinance number blank and ordinance amending Chapter 58 Land Development Code, Article Roman Numeral 3 Zoning and the official zoning map so as to change public, quasi-public, PQP district zoning to parks and recreation, PR district zoning on the property located between 652 and 700 West Morris Boulevard, or particularly described herein, providing for severability, conflicts, and an effective date.
Okay.
I'd like to move it.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. We'll open up the floor to public comment. If you wish to address the commission on this item, please step forward. We'll close the floor to public comment. Cindy, please read the roll.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you, and I apologize for not catching that earlier. Mr. Ardman has read the ordinance regarding 11E, so Mr. Briggs?
I see an overhead that five properties that have been acquired by the doctor's group, it's at 2304 Aloma, and they're planning to expand their practice by building two new 4,000 square foot single-story medical buildings on the back on Glenwood. This property in our comprehensive plan is designated to be zoned office. It was never zoned office because there were residential buildings on it, but now it's ripe for redevelopment as I've described. And so this rezoning would be in concert and conform to the comprehensive plan and would allow them to do a project such as the site plan that was prepared by their engineer. So you have a positive recommendation from P&Z for this action. Only approving the zoning, not the project per se.
Thank you, Jeff. And again, this is just being consistent with the future land use.
Yes.
Okay. Commission.
Is the O2 height the same as R3 height?
It's two stories, 35 feet maximum. These are intended to be one-story buildings.
But is the zoning itself O2? Is that 35 feet?
And two-story maximum.
So it's the same. That's
good. Jeff, are there any trees on the lot worth preserving? I didn't get a chance to look at it.
Yes, there is one major tree. Right, if you look right in the beginning where you see proposed O2 on that site plan, there is one beautiful major live oak tree there, and that's why there's a green open space in between the two buildings and no parking.
But we're not approving that plan.
No, but just to indicate that they have designed save that tree.
Excellent.
And is it office space across the street? It's not homes.
It's office space across the street,
and,
yes.
And behind it, too. I know that. Okay. I'll move it.
Okay.
I'll second.
Great. Let's open the floor to public comment, and we're to address the commission on this item. Now is your time. Okay. Seeing none, we'll also offer the opportunity for the applicant if the applicant is present. It's not Dave Zuzzi. I don't know if he's here. Hi, Dave. Just making sure you weren't the applicant. Okay, we'll close the floor to public comment. You all ready to vote?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes. Thank you. Mr. Seidel, commission report.
I did have my coffee talk last week.
Yay.
So, one of the questions was about the library board. And it was an interesting question about, you know, most boards around here that are nonprofits, you usually donate to on those boards. And the interesting question that was brought up was this is more of a public use board. And so it's interesting that you brought up having these other folks to be involved with the current library situation. But I didn't really know, for me, I just thought it was an interesting question. I really haven't thought it through, but I wanted to make you aware that it was kind of brought up, and I asked Carissa about other libraries that may do that, but other libraries aren't in our situation either. So it's kind of an interesting question, and so it kind of going into what you were talking about earlier with the this board for the library. It was my question, Randy, was we had some conversations about we've hired an owner's rep, right? And then so who is looking out for the city's interest with the owner rep? Is that going to you directly?
Yes.
Or
with Troy and Brenda Moody, yes.
Okay. And then so is this group we're talking about going to be kind of getting with you guys, Mr. Mayor?
I think so. Working with them to help articulate and get out to what everybody, what this project is, and make sure that we're just staying on task.
Okay, and just, is that something you think, that, is it something, that, didn't the original Library Task Force, all the commissioners appointed somebody to that?
We did appoint one, yeah.
Right, is that something we should be doing in this particular case also? And that's why I didn't understand the scope. And
it's kind of not where I'm at with it. I just want to put a couple people in place that are going to, from the library. I think they'll be, as I said, they'll be familiar faces to everybody in this project. So.
Okay, and just be open to making some additions when you bring it forward or not.
Okay.
Let's see. I was trying to think of, traffic was one of the issues that some folks had brought up at the Coffee Talk. And there was some emails of a resident that wanted us to look at the Pennsylvania intersection. I got some real good input from staff, and I think they might just take another look at some of the Pennsylvania Fairbanks. Sorry. Take a look at some of that striping in there, if there's anything that can be done to help with the left turn blocking traffic. So that was in the afternoons. That left turn backs up pretty good. So they're trying to see if there's something they can do there. If so, direct it, Mr. Mayor.
Pennsylvania, Fairbanks, people traveling
north and south.
Turning left on Orange. Turning left on Orange from Fairbanks.
People going north and south, there's no left turn lane. And so they... So what happens if the person in front is turning left, he has to wait for 20 cars to go through, and then the light changes, and they have to wait for the next person. So they're just going to take a look at that and see if there's anything that should be done, if we bless it, that's right?
Sure.
We don't even have to bless it, do we?
Right. Well, we do.
Within your...
I can't bless it.
No, what I'm saying is staff looks at it and they determine it needs to be taken care of. They have the budget.
Right. I think that was the majority of the details I'll share with you. But there's probably 15 folks there and a lot of good questions. Several new residents are quite happy to be in the city and quite happy with things.
Happy to have them.
Yeah, they were happy.
Let them sit through a commission meeting and see if they're still happy. Commissioner Spring.
Okay, so speaking of the library, Bash for Books is going to be coming up. I don't know if you want to mention anything about it, but that's coming up on Saturday the 9th, and that's big it's fundraiser. Right, yeah, it's right around the corner. I think you got a dress in Western or something this year, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and then the only other comment I made, and I know that I am really tough on the budget, and I understand and it's not about the people here or anything about that, but, okay, if we have rules about signs, why do we have a sign up that says, your boss called, this is all from the police, about the blinking sign? You know how much I hate those blinking signs. I tell you that every time you put them up. Your boss called, he said, don't drink and drive, or whatever it is over there at the library. But the police are the only people that can put those kinds of signs in our city. Nobody else can. So I just think that's an interesting thing for us to think about. That's all. And then if you'll just change it to your boss called and she said, I'd probably be happier.
Fair enough.
All right. Okay, Steve.
I can't wait to talk to you after. Commissioner Cooper.
The Florida League of Cities convention was last week, and Michael Miller was selected as Home Rule Hero. So that was nice.
As what? Was Home Rule Hero?
I shouldn't have laughed.
You shouldn't laugh.
I didn't mean
Florida
that.
Florida League of Cities.
That probably came
He's
off
running for office.
No, I think
you
that's great.
That's a nice thing. And I don't know if anybody has any particular interest in the Constitution Revision Commission or not, but Sarah, especially, I think of you because one of the groups is education.
I have a number of friends on it. So.
They're talking about public funding of private schools and the five things former Senator Chris Smith talked and the five, because he's on that commission, and the five things that are kind of bubbling to the top at this point in time is home rule, restoring voting rights, election and open primaries, education and using public funds for private schools, and redefining the Privacy Act to apply to women's rights. So we're kind of in an early stage of conversation, but if you don't like any of those, you might want to be talking to people on the commission, and if you do, you might want to be talking to people on the commission. But that's all I have.
Okay.
Except that I found the new agenda packet extremely non-functional for me because I'm used to being able to go to the home page and click on an agenda item and transport it to people who might be interested. I'm used to being able to go into my agenda packet and click on an item and go directly to that item and miss the 500 pages in front of it. So I know we're working on that, and part of it's educating us maybe how better to use it. But so far, I think it's not nearly as nice as what we have now. But just my comment.
It's just change, Carolyn. It's just change.
Well, it must be better. It's change.
No, it will be eventually. You just have to figure it out.
Well, it doesn't have that functionality that I can see. Okay, that's all I have.
Okay, I will just say from the, I was at the Florida League of Mayors convention, and I was appointed to the executive board, and so that was very interesting. Regarding the Constitutional Review Committee, we're looking to take some action to try to make them recognize the home rule issue that's currently facing communities, and so I'll be working on, if they're not subcommittees, we'll be working to push the agenda. There's 412 cities in the state, and I think the representatives at the state level need to recognize the importance that local citizens put on their local government, and we'll continue to fight for that. There's no way we are the same as Tampa or even Orlando, and yet we are sometimes beholden to rules set in place because of abuses around the rest of the state. Regardless of how well we run this city, and we run it very well, it's amazing how many times when you go to Tallahassee and every representative will turn around and show you the books stacked behind them and say these, half of these, 90% of these, 75% of these books were written because of what happened in Miami-Dade County. And so when you realize that some of the legislation that you're forced to be beholden to, it doesn't matter how well we run this city. It's because of other municipalities that have... don't run it quite as efficiently as we do. Commissioner?
I thought of something else. What do we do when you have what's happened in Houston and you have so much, just so heartbreaking there? Do we volunteer or how does that work?
We are part of several mutual aid and state aid type groups. Okay. We have a firefighter responding as part of a search and rescue team.
Okay.
But if we get called on, like for an electric people, we would send them. I mean, so we're part of those. If we get a call, the calls come through the state and through Chief White.
Right.
And we do have somebody responding. They get their assignment tonight, I understand, what they'll be doing.
So we do have somebody from Winter Park that's going to be helping.
Right.
All right, good. That makes me feel better. Thank you.
And speaking of that, we have, Chief, I can give an update just on Jim, if you'd like, but he is in. I certainly will be. He is in a facility in Jacksonville, and he's working to get better every day, and he's working hard. And nobody works harder than Jim. So, but there's other things he's got to take on. So I would ask that you all go visit the GoFundMe page. I know that we've hit the goal, but doesn't mean we can't set a new goal. And Jim's going to have goals that he meets and exceeds, and we should do the same. So hit the GoFundMe page. Let's help Jim as much as we can and keep him in our thoughts and prayers as we do with all of our emergency service personnel every day. Thank you, folks. We're adjourned. Thank you.